yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, that's right, I'm the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo, and of course I'm here with the asshole of attitude, Addy, and I actually do mean that as a compliment.
What?
Anyways, everybody, just in case this is your first time listening, there is lots of explicit language to be used, especially since we'll be talking for about 73 days straight in order to cover all the news that's happened.
Fuck.
All right. Where are we going to start on this bit?
Let's start. Well, we're not. You said we were going to talk for 73 straight days. I think we're probably just going to start. We're actually going to talk for 60 straight days. One day for Randy Orton to listen to us. Each and every day. Randy Orton suspended for 60 days in accordance with the World Wrestling Entertainment Wellness Policy.
The what now?
The World Wrestling Entertainment Wellness Policy.
The what now?
Yes. Randy Orton suspended 60 days again.
Well, he was suspended 60 days before, but it wasn't a wellness violation, right?
No, that's right. As according to the Evolution of an Apex Predator DVD documentary, it was because he overdosed on pain pills.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound anything like wellness.
No. All right, let's give a little history, a little brief history of his drug issues and suspension.
Okay. Randy Orton is a fuck-up. You said brief.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
a little less
furry. Randy Orton, what did he? Randy Orton, honestly, and again, actually, that if you haven't seen it, that that Evolution of a Predator DVD
Terrific.
Or the documentary, it actually does pretty much spell out a lot of that stuff.
Well, the thing is, I hadn't seen it before, so I sent you a text after he was suspended saying I thought he was past all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about it. I knew they talked about it a lot on his DVD. So I said, you know, I'm going to track it down. I'm going to go purchase a copy and watch it.
Yeah.
And so I watched it on Daily Motion.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And
two parts that I watched. So
Exactly. That's 90 minutes, but it's really good. It really is very good, and it really is interesting. Both it's interesting just in the way they've done it, and you know a little more about the guy, but also definitely the issues he had with drugs. And the suspensions and this and that.
Yeah.
Going into this. Now, he was suspended before, like, he's had issues for smoking pot in the locker room before that was an actual violation.
Mm-hmm.
He's had issues for smashing hotel rooms.
Yeah, and that's a little different. He did get sent home for destroying the hotel room in England. You know, where that may fall under possibly today a wellness deal, I could see, it depends on who you are, but I could see on, I could see that being separate from a wellness violation.
Yeah, I could see that being separate.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure in reality, he may be hepped up on some goofballs to destroy that hotel room.
Wouldn't surprise me.
But I could see corporately making that a separate deal.
And the thing is, what they're talking about here is he went really badly into the drugs, and his wife's talking about it, and she was scared for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not, it could be pain pills, it could be other forms of addiction, other narcotics like New Jack, all sorts of stuff.
Well, exactly.
And we don't know, and we're not going to speculate on that because we don't know.
But
the point is, what we do know is that overdosing when you're not taking a test is apparently not a violation of the wellness policy, at least at that time.
And then
he'll never get his third.
Well, no, but
he'll never get his third. Even if he could go into the ring, shoot up right in front of everybody, and have it be on camera, and he wouldn't get a third violation if it's going to get him popped from the company.
Well, I don't know.
They're not going to let Randy Orton go.
Where?
She's not going to let him go.
To Ring of Honor, to TNA, to Japan.
It's about the fact that they don't have somebody to fill that spot who's going to draw as much for them. It's about the fact that he's the second or third biggest draw in the company and the biggest on SmackDown, and they're not going to let that go because it doesn't matter if somebody else has him and they can't do anything with him. See Jeff Hardy. It matters that they can't replace him.
Well, and that's... But I think there will... I mean, and again, and this...
Maybe if he was walking around that backstage with a syringe sticking out of his ass, Vince would suspend him. But other than that.
No, but I think that there will come a time, and it'll be very interesting to see with 60 days kind of how he comes back. Because the reality is, and honestly, since he, I mean, we dropped those, was it three matches in a row to Mark Henry or two matches in a row to Mark Henry there in last fall.
Yeah.
And it was to build up him winning the Royal Rumble in his hometown and then going on to WrestleMania and beating Mark Henry. That was the idea, or at least the selling point to Randy, is this is what we'll do.
It was the idea.
And I'm sure this was the idea, exactly.
And then Daniel Bryan became...
Well, combination, you're right, Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton got hurt.
Yeah.
Right? And then, but since then, since he come back, Orton come back, hasn't really been in a prominent spot.
He was, and I said this coming after Over the Limit, he doesn't get pinned. Jericho takes the pin in the four-way with the other guys in the match. Sheamus and who else was it?
Alberto. And Jericho, yeah.
Okay, Alberto gets the number one contender spot here.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no question, the way that they were filming that they were building to an eventual Sheamus versus Orton. I would have thought it would be a SummerSlam. In fact, I would bet my left nutsack it would have been SummerSlam if not for this.
Yeah, which explains all the blood earlier. But I think that, he's going to come back, 15 days before?
15 days before SummerSlam?
About that, is that
right? I don't know, will they put him in that spot immediately? They might.
But do you now, a 60-day guy? Do you...
They did with Jeff Hardy, when he was a 60-day guy.
Well, that's... What did they do with Jeff? Didn't he come back with it was the Intercontinental title, though, wasn't it?
That was the first time, I believe.
The first 60-day for Jeff Hardy?
The first 30-day.
Well, he was the Intercontinental Champion and lost it.
Yeah.
I thought to... It was either Jericho or Umaga.
Umaga.
But,
What was that Regal used to call him?
Umaga.
Umaga. Okay, yeah. It was, okay.
Yes. But anyway, it was one of those two, anyway, that he was, and he missed Mania for Jeff Hardy. But Orton, again, I don't know, do you feed him?
He came back and pretty quickly got back up the card. And you know what? We'll see Rey Mysterio, how quickly he gets pushed back up the card.
Well,
I don't know if they'll put him in or not, but it's more an issue to me. What was he popped for? Because honestly, if it's painkillers, is it painkillers? Is it steroids? I mean, you look at those the documentary. Mm-hmm. You saw his days of evolution, how much bigger he was.
Oh, just
and you hear about all his temper issues, and you're going, it was road rage.
Even OVW, combined, right?
Yeah. It was roid rage combined with his youth.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not nearly as big now. Not that he's not necessarily on something, because we know that test can be beat.
Yeah.
Within the WWE.
Yeah.
What was this a policy violation for? Was it as low as pot?
I was going to say, it could just be pot, too, which we know he enjoys, right? So.
Yeah. Was it painkillers? It's pretty hard to imagine he's not on painkillers. Again, there's a bit in there where they're showing all the stretches and stuff he has to do.
Yeah.
Just to compensate for his injuries. And at that time, in the documentary, I believe he's 33. I think he's 34 now.
Yeah, he's 34, already 35, just, yeah.
Yeah, and all the stuff that he has to do to compensate for his injury.
His birthday was WrestleMania, was April 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he probably just turned 35 April 1st then, yeah.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Well, he's 34 when he won the title, and that was 2002 or 2003? 24, yeah. But that was 2002 or 2003? 2004?
I'm just trying to think, it might have been 2004, WrestleMania 20. Right?
That was 8 years ago.
8 years ago. Yeah, 8 years ago. So
that makes him like 32.
32, yeah.
So he's like 31 in this documentary, and you're already seeing all the stuff he has to do just to get ready for a match and just to, you know, just mm-hmm. to stretch and the time in the trainer's room. So it's hard to imagine he's not on painkillers, just like it's hard to imagine not on Omar. All this comes into an email question I got from Davey.
Okay.
Where he asked...
Davey
has sent us another one. We got a couple email questions we'll get to in a Twitter question itself.
Yeah.
But Davey asked me, who is more to blame for the pressure of the guys having a good physique, the fans or the promoter?
The promoter.
And, I think nowadays the promoter.
Nah, it's always been the promoter.
In the 80s, I'm not so sure.
In the
80s, it would have been like...
No, the 80s, the promoter was Vince. And the promoter loved that shit. And so
did the fans.
but the fan, no, the, I don't think the fans, I mean, there was some degree, and to some degree, that was true. But I'll tell you right now, if Macho Man Randy Savage, okay, whether he had his intercontinental physique,
mm-hmm.
whether he had his what up, Mach, WCW physique,
yeah.
or he had that middle-of-the-road Mega Powers physique, it was all about this, yeah, freak out, and the elbow and the athleticism, and the Macho Man was a completely different fan. Hulk Hogan, yes, was the posing,
yeah.
okay, but I didn't give a fuck about the Warlord.
True.
You know, and guys like that, so, and nobody knows who the fuck Tom McGee is, right?
True.
One match with Brett, another match looked like shit. So, that was a Vince, that's a Vince thing, and a larger-than-life thing. I mean, King Kong Bundy, you know, was just a fat guy, right? I mean, I know how much you hate him, but...
Yeah, I remember when I used to be fat.
Yeah, I know, right? But, it was, he still is. But,
slimmed down to be King Kong Bundy for Halloween,
you
told me.
Yes, that's right, to be... But, I mean, I just look at all of that, and I think that's the promoter.
Okay, so if that's the promoter, then I kind of... And so, whatever Randy Orton is doing, let's say it's being on the road 300 days a year,
mm-hmm.
and doing press many of his other days.
Yeah.
Again, is that the pressure from the fans or the promoter?
Well, see, again, don't get me wrong. I think that for... And we're talking about giant... See, I'm talking about giant jacked-up guys. We're talking about the 80s.
Uh-huh.
I think for Randy Orton... And to a degree, John Cena, and probably
yeah.
to a large degree, John Cena, is that they both have the pressure of their very magazine cover GQ girly scream. Well, we watched the documentary there, and how many girls were crying, I just met you. Like,
yeah.
he's that teen heartthrob Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Has that look, that body, that everything, right?
Yeah.
For that teen heartthrob thing. So for him, if he is
like
on the road and he's doing all this stuff, it's the same idea.
Yeah.
I mean, only this one works. Is that he doesn't have the time to do that? So if he needs a helping hand, I could see him getting popped for that, right?
Yeah.
That I could see.
Who is? I mean, who like? Why? What did he do? Why did he do it?
Mm-hmm.
Does he still need help? Is it a more serious problem? Is it painkillers? Is it pot? Is it some
right.
other harder substance? Is
and
it
that,
steroids?
And I was saying
it's
that...
It's really tough to speculate. I tell you this. You watch the documentary, he did grow up. But more to that, to me, last year, we saw him in August here.
Right.
And there was somebody near us who was a special needs individual.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the guys, and a few of the guys went towards him, of all of them, he made more effort...
Mm-hmm.
to signal this person out
yeah.
and make a connection with them than any of the guys in the locker room.
Well, him and Daniel Bryan.
That's true.
Daniel Bryan specifically
Daniel Bryan
took
did.
One look and pointed and went right over. But Randy Orton,
so Randy Orton
spent
didn't do
the most time.
Yeah, he did.
And not, you're right, not during TV.
Not during TV. When TV was over, and that
mm-hmm.
was the person that was, of all, everybody, this special needs individual, was most excited to see Randy Orton. Yeah. Randy Orton spent that time. And that to me shows... The way they're seeing the documentary and his issues, he has grown up a lot because he
yes.
isn't as selfish.
No.
So what is it that's causing this is the bigger deal. You hear about his dad talking about how he could be on the road 100 days and how in grade 10 he probably saw him 12 days that
yeah,
year.
Yeah, that's right.
That's horrible. Okay, Randy's probably seeing his daughter 60 days of the year.
Yeah.
They're still only seeing his daughter 60 days of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still pushing these fucking guys too hard. And as long as they are, guys like Ray or guys like Randy Orton and others – are going to continue to get popped, and the wellness policy is just, hey, now we know you're getting popped, and we're going to suspend you. That
right.
doesn't fix the problem. You still push them.
Well, back. That's not true. I mean, you just double the time Randy gets to spend with his daughter.
And that 120
days.
120 days
this year, exactly. No, I think that, it's there's an issue, there's a problem. Obviously, to get popped. You know, and again, hopefully, we don't know what it is, and hopefully it's just hopefully it's nothing serious, and that it is, like you said, I mean, sad as this sounds, the best case scenario is painkillers.
Or pot.
I guess,
would
or
be
pot.
The best.
Pot's kind
yeah.
of painkiller. But you know what you need to do, bro, is get set up with DDP's yoga. It's not your mama's yoga. For him to be stretching out.
And that would solve it.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, Randy, it's tough on that kid.
Well, that's how he learned the diamond cutter. Mm-hmm. But, no, I think Hindi does see. I mean, he obviously stretches out like a... They were showing it, and it's just unbelievable that way. But
So the idea of them being on the road 300 days, is that, again, is that the fans or the company? Who's to blame for pushing these guys too hard then?
Oh, I think, again, it's the company. It's a matter of, again, specialness, right? There's a combination there. There's a... like, you can go back, and when you talk about what's old is new again, and what worked, and what we need to go back to is a slowing down of shit. And as much as we say a slowing down of shit, I mean, in the 80s, they ran harder than they do now. Yeah. But there were three tours.
Yeah.
And Randy...
And if they were doing something to get over the pain,
mm-hmm.
or to get that build, they didn't have to hide anything.
No, but Randy Orton... would in the 80s, someone like a Randy Orton, a Macho Man Randy Savage, okay, when I lived in London, Ontario, would come to London, Ontario maybe every 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Okay, and we would get, say, like a Hart Foundation British Bulldog the other year. Yeah. They'd still come every year, but I wouldn't see the same people every year live.
Well, they have SmackDown on a Raw tour.
I know, but what I'm saying is that now with that, you've got that opportunity to have these guys on the road even less. And if Randy Orton doesn't come to Calgary every year, he comes to Calgary every other year. In a lot of ways, it's going to make it more special.
For sure.
Right? I mean, now, being a city like Calgary, a larger market and a wrestling market in general, we usually get a Raw or SmackDown, so we don't usually have to worry about that. But think of a place like Medicine Hat, Alberta, right? Randy Orton can come to Medicine Hat. Well, Randy Orton probably never wants to go to Medicine Hat. But
nobody wants to go to the
hat. No, that's true. But if he goes there, because WWE does go there, you know, when they're doing the sort of the loop, if they go every 2 years, let's say, and maybe not every year, but they might hit the hat every 2 years. Maybe Randy Orton's on every other one of those.
Yeah, so right. They're special. Every 4 years.
More special. It's like an Olympics.
Yeah,
sure.
Or like the special needs person.
Or like a Special Olympics. See?
There you go.
There you are. But.
How is your brother doing?
Huh? The man they call B is just fantastic. I never tell you that story.
Which one?
My brother, actually, Special Olympic, I've told that story, Special Olympic weightlifter. Yeah. I'll tell this really quickly because it involves Medicine Hat. But
you did tell me this, but it's great.
We were watching the video of the Special Olympic in London, Ontario, actually, my brother, where he was born, hometown, and he's doing all this, and my parents are there entertaining it, and we're watching the video, and this woman walks out, and she did not look... special needs. She didn't have a thing. So my sister and I, we both looked at my brother and we said, Blair, what's her disability? And without missing a beat, B just looks at me and goes, oh, she's from Medicine Hat.
I love it.
Classic.
Shitty little town.
Anyway, but...
I hope you don't have any listeners there.
Yeah, I do. it's funny. But anyway, when we talk about Randy Orton, what I do with Randy Orton, to me, I still program him in the Survivor Series jobbing to Brock.
I mean, the idea for Brock, you told me, I didn't hear this, now apparently is back to Punker Taker versus Lesnar.
Taker Lesnar at Mania, apparently, so who knows what that gives Rock to do. But hopefully not Rock and CM Punk. Otherwise,
then Brock can't lose a match until then.
But Rock and CM Punk, that would mean that Rock would be suspended by WWE then, because the last three CM Punk WrestleMania opponents now currently suspended. Randy Orton, Chris Jericho, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, two of them legit.
To quit? either way, see, I think that him still... going and jobbing to Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series is perfect because it puts him in a prominent position and he still does the loss, right? So he still does the job, so you can still say, see, we didn't have him win.
That's fine.
So
that's fine. Yeah.
I think that's what you do. Conversely, because of that now, John Cena going to be on all all the SmackDowns. I mean, just
again,
on the...
Again, we're talking about pushing them too hard. We're talking about being on the road too much. We're talking about all this stuff. I mean, doesn't this guy have to go home to his wife?
To his wife, exactly, right? But,
Oh, wait.
But,
he's got a small penis.
But I still think that... I don't think John... Because if he goes home, he's just going to sit around. He's going to remind him of Mr. Socko. It's going to be horrible. But I think... I mean, John Cena is the one guy, if you are going to do that, John Cena's going to be on the road anyway.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of he's going
to
make those...
say to John Cena, can you do this? The answer is always yes.
Yeah. Is he going to be on SmackDown, or is he going to be at a Make-A-Wish Foundation thing? I mean, it's which one, right?
Yeah.
So, and it'll be more special for them if he's there every 4 years.
There you go.
There you are. So,
if John Cena made granted a wish once every 4 years, that is an excellent idea. Love it.
Book it. But, I mean, he's not going to be on TV, John Cena. He's just going to be on the Dark Match show or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever they usually
we'll
have
see
a tag
if he's not on
event.
TV. I think the temptation might be pretty strong, especially considering he wasn't on TV this last week, and the ratings weren't exactly great.
Well, I mean, 2.7. Again, well, they had, what, a 2.9? Was it 2 weeks ago? 2.9 and 3 and then now 2.7? Is that how it worked?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, it was in the U.S., it was a holiday. It was Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
We got John Cena's candid comments on Memorial Day. Holy fuck.
More like his canned comments.
Holy shit. It's like, we asked John Cena what he thought about Memorial Day. This is what he had to say. And then it was like the just a promotional video, which is fine. And, I mean, well and
video.
Good. It was, but that would have been like something that you would usually open the show with kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was just, the way it was presented by Michael Cole was, you know, like, we walked down the street, found John Cena, asked him his comments, and this is the interview he gave us. No. Although that is a John Cena interview, so, you know, like when he sat in the bleachers all by himself and read the Titantron. But no, apparently there is some degree of panic that has set in on this 2.7.
Apparently they're more worried about this than they are about Randy Orton.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and maybe they have good reason to be. I mean, who knows? I mean, again, it's Randy being Randy. It was expected. I mean, there is a possibility that the reason he didn't get jammed back up the card is because they were maybe expecting this to happen.
Who's
you don't know,
handbag
right?
Was it? Who was the diva whose handbag he shit in?
Oh.
Joey Giovanni?
No. Amy Weber.
Amy
Weber, yes.
Not suspended for that.
No. That was a rib, brother. Well, X-Pac wasn't suspended for cutting Michael Hayes' hair. Henning got fired.
Henning got fired
for fighting with Brock. And Scott Hall got fired for being Scott Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Goldust
this wasn't a rib.
Goldust didn't get fired for singing to Marlena.
She turned him down. He's shit in her bag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Happily married. But I think that, I don't know. Is there cause to panic here?
No.
It just, you know?
No. We'll see what it is this week. It'll be back to a 2.93.
Right.
It'll probably stay to that. It's not going to jump from a 2.9 or a 3 to a 2.7 and stay there. Is it going to be a 2.7 the way they're going in a year or two? Absolutely. Is it going to be a 2.4 in 3 or 4 years the way they're going?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
And like we say, it's a slow erosion, which is why you don't even notice until it's too late and then panic sets in.
Well, and that was
maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it is a good thing. Maybe you know what they should do? Listen to last week's show.
Yeah, well, that's just it. I mean, we're talking about, is it time to panic? And you say, no, I think yes, because, I mean, it is a slow erosion. So if you don't panic now, like, when do you panic?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't panic because it's 1 week. You panic because this has been going down for years.
Yes. And I mean, they look at, like, well, last year's Memorial Day did a 3-1 or something, or a 3-0, and now it's doing a 2.7. It's like, well, yeah, because you were doing 3-3s, 3-4s, or 3-2s, 3-4s, you know, this time last year, and now you're doing 2.9-3s. So, of course, I mean, everything
you're
is...
You're going to 3-3 last year, yeah.
It's all relative, right? Yeah. I mean, you're going down by the same level.
Percentage.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So, maybe this is the spark or something that they needed to just to say, you know, holy fuck, something's got to change here. But... You know, but you're right. I don't think that this one rating in itself, this one week means anything.
No, this 1 week doesn't. I wouldn't panic over the 1 week. Like I say, it's about what's been going on for a long time, and maybe this is a kick in the ass to make them go, hold on, this has been happening for a long time. But truthfully, when they say we're going to panic, what are they going to do? They're going to turn around and put the belt back on John Cena or something. Like, they're not going to come up with a new plan or a new presentation. They're just going to panic and go back to what worked before, but every time something works, it's the law of diminishing returns.
Well, and you talk about, you know, here we are with a slow erosion, easy for me to say.
Not. How many beers are you in?
What?
This is your fourth, right?
Fourth or fifth, yeah. But you talk about slow erosion. That slow erosion has been with John Cena as the champion.
Yeah.
As the head of the company. And so, you know, you're right. That's the panic move. Their whole thing is, how many shows are you going to see now without John Cena? They look at, well, John Cena wasn't on the show. Okay, nobody knew that fucking John Cena was, like, nobody tuned in going,
in fact,
John Cena's
not
on the show.
I would think people, because they were chanting for John Cena at the end of that show.
Right.
When Big Show was doing all this bullshit, they were chanting for the guy. I would think the fans are sitting there going, he's coming now, he's coming now. And it would create greater anticipation for him. And rise the rating
even if you look at raising the ratings, but even if you looked at that, and everybody's chanting it, like you said, at the end of the show, and John Cena runs out, let's say in the last 5 minutes, it still makes it a 2.7.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
If you look at a 2 year or
exactly.
a 2 hour
yeah. no,
overall
no, no,
average,
no.
I mean, so
and the other thing is, it was a pretty good show. It was without
it was
John
show,
Cena,
yeah.
it was better than it has been.
Yeah.
It's probably better if you go back the last 2 months. There's maybe one show that's better than this. Is what
it was that effective show of turning Big
without John Cena was entertaining.
Big Show did a hell of a job, I thought.
Oh yeah.
He was. I think I texted you because I usually watch a show before you, but I said it's that classic. What Mick Foley always says is that, you know, the heel has to believe what they're doing. Promo.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was that the heel was having to do believe what
his
they're doing.
His voice is justified.
It was,
you all don't understand it, which makes you the douchebags to him.
Yeah, you guys. And there was an element of truth and an element of lie all together in it,
yeah.
right? And it took, it did that. There was a hell of a CM Punk, Daniel Bryan television match.
Very good television match,
There was a, you know, you got Brodus doing something.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, he got his shit kicked
Brodus
out of him.
Good
but
in role.
He was. He was very good. It was something to do with Brodus. He didn't have to get exposed.
It hid his weaknesses.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly, you're
yeah,
right.
Absolutely. And you know, yeah, I mean, it was generally a pretty damn good show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty decent, so.
Yeah, no, I thought it was better than SmackDown. SmackDown had its,
See, and
you know,
I enjoyed SmackDown as well.
I did too, but I just thought the Raw was a little better than SmackDown. I don't know. The things I took away from SmackDown, again, is what I've been taking away for a while, is things like Damien Sandow.
Yeah, the genius.
The genius, Rick the Model Martel.
He's more the genius, except for the outfit. You're right.
Yeah.
The outfit is
yeah.
his gimmick. Is
the and
genius.
The cartwheel. He does the cartwheel a la Martel.
That's true. But even then, that's...
what he needs to do is that little knee thing with the arms pumping up and down. That was
yeah,
tremendous.
But even then,
Ricky
that's
Martel.
Got some... Even though his cartwheel, just his movement...
Right.
Is very
oh, yeah.
Lanny Poffo.
Poffo, Gorgeous George, yeah, very, very that
very,
way.
Very, very.
The primetime players.
There you go.
Love it.
They lost.
Huh?
The team they lost to then got the shit kicked out of them by the Big Show.
Yes, yes, that's right. And, but I do...
I like their little inset promo. It was good.
With, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and there's millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. I just like the gimmick. And I like that they're using the Demolition Decapitator as their finisher.
Yeah, yeah. Not
you
to
know?
Mention they had red tights, matching tights last week, and gold matching tights this week.
Yeah, yeah. They've got
that
the matching gimmick.
You've got the team thing. They definitely feel like it's...
Well, now they're the primetime players, too, so they've got the whole... It's not
yeah.
Titus and Darren Young. It's so...
Yeah,
yeah. they're
Damien Sandow would be my favorite, but yeah, I like them, too. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Ryback...
Ryback Acne.
Put those two guys up was impressive. The double, whatever it was, some
nobody
drop
says
there,
he's not
so.
Strong.
No, this is what I said. It's impressive. I mean, it's still, but we talked about time to pull the plug on Brodus Clay. You know, Ryback, again, is another example of the same old, where someone's got to step to Ryback and, you know, and you know what? I'll even take fucking at this point Jinder Mahal stepping to Ryback to at least have him. I mean, I guess he's beaten, what, Heath Slater and Hunico maybe in there, but not, you know.
Camacho.
Or Camacho, yeah. So we need Jinder Mahal, but I mean, we need somebody, and I'm trying to think of who is even on that, a mid-card
well,
heel
here's the thing. After, he got a cheer when he came out, because the guys in the ring that he was facing, the two jobbers, were basically, I guess, the college football, wherever they were, I can't remember where it was, but they were essentially putting over the rivals to the local college football team, making them heels. So they wanted to see somebody kick the shit out of them. They didn't care who, but they wanted to see somebody. So his music hits, they're like, okay, these guys are getting the shit kicked out of them.
Yeah.
They cheered that. The match is over. He was trying to get the crowd to chant, "Feed me more" with him.
He's wild.
Cole was doing a Ryback, Ryback.
Yes.
Neither one of those things is getting over. The crowd was not chanting, "Feed me more" with him. The crowd is not into him. I say you don't pull the plug on him yet. I think the problem is his gimmick is a heel gimmick. They need to turn him heel.
Right.
And you have a baby face mid-card.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Like Zack Ryder. Mm-hmm. Steps up.
Okay.
To it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what you do with
that's
guy.
Probably perfect, actually. Yeah, I can see that. So
he might get over as a heel because he's much more of a heel persona and style.
Yeah. No, that's we could do that. And
I want to go back to Big Show for a little bit. You know, one of the things that he said that was key to me.
Uh huh.
He's Brock Lesnar. He's not an entertainer. He's a giant.
Mm-hmm.
He's a weapon of mass destruction. Just like Brock Lesnar is not an entertainer.
That's right. He is not to put smiles on people's faces anymore.
He's not to put smiles. He's a businessman, like
yes.
Brock.
Right.
An ass kicker.
Not like some phony UFC fighter.
Well, also, they also insulted
NBA,
NBA,
I know, but
NFL.
He said phony UFC fighter. I mean, he took that extra little dig. I mean, but I know. I know. I know what it means. Well, it means something, but it means nothing at the same time.
Nobody will remember that. Doesn't matter.
No, I know, but it was there for a purpose is all I'm saying. Whatever. It doesn't mean anything, but it was there for a reason.
But that's my thing about him is he's another guy saying the same thing. Just like CM Punk is constantly saying, "I'm the best wrestler."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Just a little emphasis on that. That I do like.
Speaking of CM Punk, I do believe that cover with Big Johnny on it would be bigger than Pac-Man.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they had said, like...
No, it was perfect.
That's true.
It was perfect him saying Pac-Man.
Yeah, it's true. If they had said Call of Duty or something...
No.
Mean,
Punk
right.
could have... But Johnny Ace saying Pac-Man was perfect. I mean, the only other thing he could have done was say, like, Galaga or something. But you know what I mean? Or Asteroids. But no. Pac-Man, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Pac-Man.
Yeah. Amazing.
But... I'm just looking at some of the
I
other...
I think I'm finding too much Johnny on two shows. One show is a fine. I'm finding two shows is too much Johnny.
Yeah. Well, he only come out at the end of SmackDown.
Still, I'm finding it a little bit... He doesn't annoy me like he does some people, but I'm finding it is a little too much Johnny on my TV.
Yeah. It's getting to be too much of a good
thing. It's not turn away heat by any means. It's just too much of a... Yeah,
He's good in small doses. I mean, his role is... It's what I said. I mean, doing the Pac-Man thing,
he's
fine.
Good with,
you know?
Well, I thought he was good with CM Punk. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of CM Punk and Kane and Daniel Bryan being a triple threat?
Well, I mean that was a pretty good match they had on SmackDown, I thought.
Yeah.
But I was actually very surprised at that. Kane had his... And it's something he dusted off out of the
working
old
boots
field.
On.
Yeah, he had the working boots on that I didn't even know he owned.
Yeah.
But must have stolen them out of his dad's closet after he stuck them in the freezer. But, you know.
Devil's favorite demon.
It.
I hate that name.
I know. But, I mean, the thing is. Okay, there's two. I have two thoughts on this, actually. I mean, the first one, of course, is the obvious one, that adding Kane adds nothing to this match. Right? It detracts from the match. We just watched a really great match on pay-per-view at Over the Limit, and now we've pulled it back by adding Kane to it. This isn't Joe Daniels AJ, right, where you throw one guy out and then you're going to do it. So that's my first thought on it, is that you've worsened the match, right? My second thought on this is that the whole thing with AJ. Is AJ the psycho chick going to go with Brian or Punk? She's going with Kane.
Yeah, I've been thinking the same thing.
You know.
I was going to say that to you, and it's too bad you stole my thunder there, you fuckface.
That's why I didn't let you talk. I saw you going, after.
I was like, well, I'm going to really enjoy AJ when she was with Kane.
Yeah.
You know, no, but that is it. I mean, she could end up back with Brian, but no, it really looks like Kane.
Yeah, to me,
and
it
which
was
makes like, me think Kane is probably, I think there's a good chance he's getting the title here. I kind of have a feeling. They've been talking about how he's 15 years without it.
What?
15 years without that title. He had the other
title. Without that title. Okay.
They're mentioning that on commentary on SmackDown.
You know, I... No.
No?
No. Like, even with AJ. I like AJ going with Kane in that sort of swervy theory.
But how
of
else
it.
Does it work? How else does she join Kane? And it'd be impactful if it doesn't cause him to win the title.
Would just,
and it's a swerve.
This would be the swerve. It'd be exactly like Impact.
Impact was.
But, yeah, it was. But, I have a couple things with that. Is that, of course, I want to see Punk hold the title for at least a 2-year period.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I just want to see that champion. Right? For longevity purposes.
I agree with
and
you.
We've had the conversation where it's got to be over a year now before that longevity gets taken seriously.
Yeah,
right?
I agree with you.
When you talk about, and again, when you talk about AJ and Kane, I think that kind of makes sense because she's going kind of that heel thing. That said, she looked fucking hot in that Punk shit.
Oh, sure she did.
And so,
she'll look hot. She'll look hot from Kane shit.
But should she look hot as a heel, though?
Yes. She's still a... She's a heel. A heel chick that's hot and you can't get, and psycho bitch. That's
I never
hot.
Had to. The psycho bitch.
You never had a hot chick. That's true.
The psycho bitch thing. I guess.
You've had that.
Yeah, I've had that. I've
How's
had that.
Derek doing?
I don't know. fuck it. But I think that
she was French.
But I mean that in terms of what she looked. I mean, she could do the put a Kane shirt on and have that
She'll
same
look.
Look so
fine.
That's fine. But.
I mean, Deborah looked hot, and she was a heel.
She just loses some weight.
Right?
But
oh, yeah, exactly. She dropped down from 35 pounds to 30.
Yeah, great.
Jesus. But eat a sandwich. Like, seriously, in person, television looks better. People look different, look bigger on television.
Yeah.
In person, it really...
Well, the camera adds 30 pounds, and she had two cameras on her.
Yeah, exactly. Getting her up to about 80.
And she looked, 35 pounds. Yeah. But I think that... I could see that as a swerve, and I don't mind that as a because they haven't done a lot of they've done a lot of swerves
for a while,
but they haven't done a lot of swerves lately either. So doing them every once in a while is fine, right? This isn't the Russo
special. They're building
for
a while now. One reason why AJ may end up with Punk,
mm-hmm.
he has a new T-shirt saying "I date crazy chicks."
That's true.
So that's another reason to think that she actually will end up with Punk.
Well, or they prolong
it. But it is intriguing.
I mean, nothing says it has to happen, you know, at this No Way Out, right?
No.
So he could sell his shirts and have another one waiting in the wings, you know, in you know, for September. That,
crazy bitches are fucking crazy. I hate them. That's a good catchy shirt.
Crazy bitches are fucking crazy. I hate them. Yeah. I agree.
How is your ass?
She's designing T-shirts.
But not that I'm bitter at any women.
Oh, my God. How many beers have you had?
I'm probably about four.
Four beers. But no, I think that's...
this isn't really a beer, though.
That's true. It's a Bud Light Lime Mojito.
Yeah, it tastes more like Mojito than any sort of Bud Light.
It's a Bud Light Lime after you brush your teeth, I told you.
Yeah.
But
I don't do that.
No, I don't brush your teeth. No.
Well, not after having a beer.
I see.
Anyways, I was going to talk a little bit about the three-way itself. Everybody seems to be down on the idea of Kane being in it because those two had such a good match before. Truthfully, my viewpoint is, but I've seen that match now.
Can I tell you a little story about what you just said there? Is that you were talking about a three-way going down, and I don't know about Kane, but I was able.
Very nice.
Say hi to your mother for me.
So, imagine how good we'd be if we didn't drink beer and did this. We'll never find
out. We'll never know, no.
All right, but no, that three-way match, the way I see it, I've already seen that match. I will see that match in the future. I like Kane in addition. I seem to be definitely in the minority here, but I think it creates a different dynamic. And if these guys, especially Daniel Bryan, are the great workers they're supposed to be, they should be able to create a great match around them.
Right.
Because he is totally different than them. He's the power guy to give them a chance to do different spots they can't do together.
The springboard guy.
I think you should be able to have a really good match with him if they use him right. And they create movement around him, you know. So I think I'm fine with it. I like it. I like the match. Now I want to talk about somebody else who was going to have a big match coming up here,
right?
But Randy Orton got suspended.
Oh, yes, Swagger Ziggler rather.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler. What now?
Swagger.
What about him?
Dolphin Swagger.
Okay, good.
That's I guess. Well, I mean, I look at like Dolph. Or Swagger cost Dolph the match against Sheamus there. He had the thing where, you know, it was, I don't need this shit. You know, I don't need this. I'm better than this. Which, you know, you could turn that into means I'm better than you, you know, Swagger. And then Swagger cost him the thing and off to the races you go,
so
right?
Is he the heel or Swagger the heel?
You know, that's a good question, right? And
because they're both consistently acting like heel still.
Well, I look at
if Vicky decides to go with Ziggler and kicks Dolph or kicks Swagger to the
Swagger
curb.
To the curb, yeah.
To satisfy what she considers to be her meal ticket, then you got Swagger.
Kind of.
If it,
no, you don't.
You
though. See,
the
here's
other way
the
around.
Thing. But let's look at this. Is that that's not how you build a face. Because the baby face is only now a baby face because he got kicked out. Right?
Well, it depends on how they do it. If they do that and he's a baby face in 2 seconds. But it worked with Alex Riley, right?
Well, Alex Riley, no.
Alex Riley didn't pull it off because he sucks.
Alex Riley turned. He got berated and snapped a la Virgil, okay?
But that's what this should be, too. That's what I'm
saying. Yes, okay, yes.
Shouldn't be just she's kicking him to the curb. It should be she's coming to the ring and when Swagger screws up next time, it's you're right. You're screwing him up. And Swagger's like, I'm doing what you told me to do.
Yeah.
You know, she gives him another chance and he's like, I'm doing what you're telling me to do and she's such a bitch that she's going with this prick Ziggler. Instead of him, and eventually she has Ziggler beat the shit out of him. He's a face. He's gone for 2 or 3 weeks. He comes back, pull apart brawl, book it. That's, of course, too much time for them, and that's not how they're going to do it. I'm not saying it would be the most effective thing, but it's the same idea with what you're doing if she goes with Swagger over Ziggler, the guy she's been with longer, the guy who is better than this. I don't think the fans necessarily, they might take the Swagger as a face. Who knows? They were in that moment when Michael Cole was berating him.
Yeah.
About a year ago.
Right, right.
Last
night, maybe in Mania 27, just, or, you know, around
yeah,
there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Truthfully, though, I think Ziggler, it's great if he turns face. I think the fans want him as a face. They already sometimes cheer for him.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a heel. They view him as one of those underrated, underappreciated, talented guys who's not going to get pushed.
Right.
There's a need for baby faces. He could get pushed up that card. I think he could really take off as a baby face. And let me tell you, I think he's better off as a baby face beating Jack Swagger a couple pay-per-views in a row than he is as a heel losing to Randy Orton a couple pay-per-views in a row.
Yeah, I think, no, that's a valid point because he's winning and he's figuring out stuff that was popular 2 years ago. But he does... He has got more potential, I guess, than Swagger. Not that Swagger doesn't have potential, but I think Ziggler's
got... He might have a little more. Certainly the baby face, I think he does.
Well, as a baby, just in general, he does. But it definitely is a baby face, and, yeah, I think you could take two. I think you have... Ziggler, I think, snaps on them, though, and turns on them. And then Vicky just has to do the whole... What I do... is I have
well, fantasy book segment.
I could even have
the asshole of attitude.
Well, I have Vicky. I think Swagger says, you know what? You know, it's come. They butt heads. They come to a head. They butt some heads there. And Swagger is the one that says, Vicky, you got to choose me or him. And Vicky hums and haws and looks and goes back and forth and doesn't know and kind of says, oh, blah, 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 and gives both the things and kind of looks at Dolph and you know, after a couple minutes, finally looks at Dolph and smiles. And Dolph goes, Vicky, I made this real simple for you. I don't want you. You know, and he turns on her without her dumping that, or dumping swagger. Like, she doesn't have to, it doesn't even have to be, I've chosen Dolph. Like, yeah. She doesn't even have to say it. She just has to kind of smile and give that impression. Because yeah. Then as a heel, she can be that, I was going to pick you, of course, all along. Anyway, swagger, and swagger, well, I know Vicky, right? And then they could be their heels together, right? Yeah. And then justify it to themselves. But Dolph doesn't give them that chance and says, no, no, fuck you, right? So, just like that, fuck you. You know, fuck David Flair too. But I think that yeah, and fuck David Flair too. No, I think that I think that that's the way you do it. And I think that then you're right. Then you have them feud for you know, again, SummerSlam's what? No, we got two pay-per-views, right? June and July. And then Dolph could be doing something else for SummerSlam, right? Hell, by then you could have Cody.
If Jack Swagger's kind of become somehow Ziggler's little brother and all this, and his tag team partner and this and that, it would also give him a chance to break out as a heel again with Vicky as his manager and give him some focus totally too. So it could be good for him too.
Yeah. No, it definitely is.
Yeah. If they do it right. And that's okay. We come back to it. You know, we didn't really talk about this. They're going to 3 hours Raw. So there should be a way to do this right. These guys should have more face time, even though they're on every week. They don't really get promo time necessarily.
Or heel time.
Or heel time.
Because a heel is a bad
guy. One of the things that, you know, we talked about the cruiserweights, and we haven't talked about Impact yet. And we both watched Impact because it was the first live show.
Yeah.
And rare
week. I missed the first hour. No, I didn't.
No. It was up an hour, yeah.
Yeah.
Your DVR actually caught it, right?
It did, actually, yeah.
They're saying that they're going to have an interactive element.
Right, right.
Now, Impact went live and had an interactive element first.
Right.
What do you think about the Raw interactive element and the Impact interactive element, and is there any correlation? Does it matter at all? Does it matter that Impact did it first? What do you think? Do you like that idea for Raw? Do you like it for Impact? Do you like it? What do you think on it?
You know, they're see, again, I think this is more of a I don't know. I'm not backstage. I don't know. But I get the feeling it's a Stephanie thing that just really loves this interactivity idea. That we're going to brand ourselves this interactive television show, because then as the ratings start to slip and we're no longer the highest rating weekly episodic television program, we could be the highest rated, you know, weekly interactive television program that there is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it can be compared to, like, what, Supermarket Sweepstakes or something.
Unless Impact
right?
stays live, because then they're first.
No, the highest rated is
oh,
what I'm saying.
Rated.
I don't give a
okay.
shit about first. It's just the highest rated. But they can change what they are, right? The longest, you know, the most highly rated weekly interactive television program, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they can do that. And so... But I don't think you go overboard with it. I mean, like, what did they do on Impact?
What they did on Impact was they took the World Television Champion,
right.
had him against four possible opponents, Miss Anderson, Robbie E., Jeff Hardy, and RVD.
Right.
Jeff Hardy won the vote, as they knew he would.
87% of the vote or
no,
something?
No, 40%. Just 40? Over 40%.
Oh.
And this was a website.
That's called, almost 87%.
Which is... Like I say, they couldn't do this before, though, because they weren't live before.
Right.
The thing about it for Impact is, the way Impact is building their shows, shooting their shows, the style
well,
that it is, the idea of a live, interactive segment just once
mm-hmm.
feels pretty organic to what they're doing.
Right, yes.
Where with Raw, I don't think it does.
No, that's right. It does. It stands out.
Yeah.
And I think
it's kind of a reality TV documentary feel to
and legal,
the Impact that isn't there with Raw.
And we'll go just quickly on Raw. I think two things. The way we laid it out on Raw, if you want to be interactive, then you could do it a la the UFC. You know, who's going to win?
Who's going to win, yeah.
And it's always 50-50 for fuck's sakes. But,
pretty
I
much,
mean,
yeah.
unless George St. Pierre is involved, then it's usually like 80-20. But the thing is... you do it that way, right? And then you can claim that interactivity. With Raw and their interactive and going 3 hours, like again, like you said, they don't have that, and WWE has never been about the TV title. That's a NWA WCW thing, right?
Yeah.
And it works great for TNA. You're right. Yeah. It's very natural inside of what they've been doing.
And the direction they've taken the company.
Yeah, and hell, and I love the idea of four fuckers, vote on who gets the TV title match this week.
You take the backstage, the documentary-style filming, you take the gut check and this, and they all feel organic to the same television mm-hmm. show.
Well, they do, but I just like the idea of everybody gets, you know, fans vote on who fights Devon this week, right? Like that to me is a natural evolution of the television title.
For sure, it is.
You know what I mean? And so the only other thing that I could think of doing,
and leave it to the television titles.
Yes. And if you want to talk about Raw, if they want to take it to that next level, then they have the opportunity. They've let it go for a little while, but they could always bring it back. Is that we've all, I don't want to say grown up on him, but we've gotten to know him over the last couple years.
And to know him and love him.
We've liked him on Facebook.
Oh,
we've followed him on Twitter.
By the way, like us. Hit that like button.
Yes, like us on Facebook. He is facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. He is the internet champion. And if we want to take that and make that interactivity, do we have an internet champion?
See, that's fine. And the way it's sounding,
mm-hmm.
it's sounding like they're going to build it so that it's a big part of the entire show.
Which sounds stupid to me, and I just think that...
And when they've done that in the past, the Cyber Sunday, or what was it, on Tuesdays, what was it called?
Taboo Tuesday,
and then they've done it on Raw. Yeah. It's never even worked. Even WCW on WCW Saturday Night would sometimes do this.
Yes.
William Regal would be the television champion. Who is he going to face? And Ric Flair would win, you know, and he would face him.
Well, they always had someone from the red locker room and the blue locker room, and those two guys are fighting. Vader would cut the promo and to say, let me fight the Guardian Angel, and then the Guardian Angel would put the promo in, and it always end up being
or,
like...
Or, you're going to see this match or this match, and they did it some there, too.
Well, no, it was a whole bunch. You vote anybody from here versus anybody from here, and it was a jacked-up Jean-Paul Levesque in one locker room, right? But, I mean, it's...
Jacked-up Jean-Paul Levesque.
No, I know. That never happened.
We have found the most awesome picture of him, but we're going to have to wait for the rest to drop
it. I know. We will. When developmental finally changes, when NXT finally changes, maybe, because that's a Hunter call, or when Hunter beats Brock at SummerSlam, we'll put that picture up.
Could be.
That's what we'll do. But...
So you're going to see it. It's awesome.
Yes, it's tremendous. But I think...
Now we have an Owen picture we're going to share with everybody, too. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow.
Lots of fucking... I have a couple of Owen pictures, actually, that I haven't even shown you yet. But,
there you go.
Anyway, with this interactivity, again, TNA, perfect, right? Keep it there. Raw, I don't know what they're going to do. Like, it's like, what is it? Is this going to be a tables match? Is this going to be a...
It's going to be like Cyber Sunday. And it's not going to be organic, and it could be up and down the show, and... Yeah, you're right. One segment with one belt that they create specifically this mm-hmm. or something like that for Ryder, it's fine. In fact, you merge the U.S.
Intercontinental,
and then have a internet champion.
Yeah,
you know.
But again,
or
I don't
make
like
the Intercontinental the internet because they both have inter in it.
Yes, see, they're practically the same thing.
Practically,
it is. But
and you know what? And with the internet. Was it also created by...
John Arezzi.
With the Intercontinental title? Was it created by John Arezzi?
I believe it was. Now, did they get the internet in Rio de Janeiro?
Yeah. Okay, we'll get there, folks.
Yes, we will.
That's
get
a joke
there.
For just me and Addy right now.
Oh, right now. But we will share that all with you. But,
we watched the Russo U-Shoot. That's all you
the
got.
The iPay-per-view Vince Russo U-Shoot, and we're going to talk about
it. We are fucking
that.
Dedicated.
Oh, we are. Oh, fuck, are we ever. But, let's just hit a couple other quick hits because we talked about the 3-hourness of the Raw. Couple quick hits. Raw, we talked about Raw 1000. Apparently DX is returning.
Sean didn't know.
Sean didn't know. He just knew he was supposed to be there. Didn't know what the fuck he was doing. But that's going
to
happen.
Hunter will be on TV after that to build for the Lesnar match, apparently.
Yeah, that's the working plan there. So that makes perfect sense. Maybe Brock destroys Sean. Actually, would be awesome.
That's perfect. I love that. That's a great idea.
Book it.
That's a great book.
That would be perfect, actually.
Yeah, book it.
Mark Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Mark Henry's health update?
No.
He said some tweet. His recovery is going great. He's the healthiest that he's been in 5 years, he says.
Okay,
so
good.
He says the Hall of Pain, bring on the Hall of Pain lives on.
I'm glad to hear it. I was worried.
Yeah, he's talking about, you know what, if this doesn't work, maybe I got to retire. And it sounds like, from all accounts here, is that he's doing really well, and that's working out.
He's going to come back. That'll give you him as a monster heel, Show as a monster heel, and the repackaged Tensai as a monster heel. He's dropped the role. Was it on TV again this week?
Yeah.
Dropped the Lord. What if it's a faction? Three of them.
Yeah, well, that's... I don't
Running
know.
Running rampant. Destroying everybody.
Yeah, I mean,
having each other's back.
You know what, the only...
The big men dominate again.
Yeah.
2012.
The only reason that Tensai to me, I mean, this... Now, yeah, he's Tensai, he's not Lord Tensai, he dropped the robe. I mean, he was on Raw a couple weeks ago without the Lord and dropped the Tensai, but...
But it's going to be a real repackaging, from what we understand.
Yeah, like,
He needs a mask. He needs a mask, or he just... Well, his offense needs to be different.
Possibly
too,
the return of Golga.
There you go.
See?
There you go. But, I mean, I don't know. It could be. It could work. It could work, because you will have three monster heels there.
It could work.
Or you could turn Henry face.
Yeah, I mean, again, Henry would be the guy that would stand up to the Big Show, and we're just rerunning that with the flip side of it all, right?
Yeah.
So it to me that I don't know that doesn't really work for me. I mean,
you could turn a face
part of the thing,
else,
even though Big, you could, yes, you're right, but part of the thing with Big Show doing really well in his role,
he could put smiles on people's faces.
Yes,
he could take on Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a possibility, actually. But, no, I mean, I just kind of look at, even Big Show and Cena, it's Big Show and Cena again, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
So, but, trying to think of any, if there's anything else, quickly that we got to get to.
Well, we haven't really talked about Impact enough yet here.
Well, no, we'll get there, but I've got a lot of TNA kind of stuff, so I'm kind of just leaving that out purposely here. Paul Heyman.
Who?
Paul E. Dangerously.
Oh.
Went on a bit of a rant.
Yeah. Was he drunk texting? Was he on wine? Or
I don't think so, because, that would...
Are you going to call them up and we'll quote them, or...?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was trying to do, is bring these up here, because he was going for, quite a while.
Basically, yeah, I mean, you got it there?
No, I'm getting there, just calm down. Just...
No, I'm just wondering, are you on the right page? You sure?
Hmm?
I don't think you're on the right page.
I'm on the right page, don't you
positive?
Worry. Yes,
I don't think you're that bright.
Huh?
What?
Oh, I'm the brightest man on the planet.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was Sheamus. Oh, wait. You said brightest.
Yes.
My mistake.
So I'm on the wrong page here.
I know. Go back, hit more, and search.
Here? Full?
No. Well, you can do it that way, too, but that'll take longer.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You know, that's me, though. Right?
This is Riverdale Radio.
I know, right?
This is all on me to keep it entertaining now.
When did he do this?
Go up
to
the top of the website. Hit more.
Okay, more.
Hit search.
Type in
Heyman.
Can I type in Paul Heyman? Okay, so I'm on WeTalkWrestling.com.
Type in Heyman.
WeTalkWrestling.com here, and I'm just going to type in...
Heyman.
Heyman in the search.
And if you go to WeTalkWrestling.com, type in Heyman.
In the search.
Tweets will come up? Is that what you're saying? That's news to me. Now I'm going to have to fucking go home and put those in now, aren't I? You fuckface.
That's what I do.
Oh.
Could you hurry up with that, too, by the way?
Well, I think it's probably going to be at the... there you go. Mutt 3, Twitter compilation. There you go.
There you go. We talk wrestling about
fucking read
now.
Them out, and I'm going to shut up.
Okay, so a series of tweets from Heyman here. So, well, some of these picks, I realized how blessed I was in my career. Some guys have to wait forever for a lucky break. I managed Austin Idol and Tommy Rich at the age of 21. Also, the original Midnights, which I got to do on ESPN. Got to book Windy City, 22 years old, was Eddie Gilbert's assistant booker. Got to WCW TBS, he was 23. Like, I mean, again, you don't even think of this, right?
Well, we did mention how young he was when he took
over
ECW.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and he was JR's commentator.
And that's where he is the newer version of Cornette,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was JR's...
Cornette, I was like 19 when he did.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, in Memphis, pretty, right? I mean,
yeah.
I said 23 years old, he was JR's commentator. Says, then... No one is given that opportunity in today's environment. I will admit, with all modesty, I hustled my ass off, got myself the opportunity with ambition, politics, and pure assertiveness. Even down periods would give me a chance to work with people like Mean Mark, a.k.a. The Undertaker. 26, he managed Austin, Rick Rude, Arn, Eaton, Zabisco, The Dangerous Alliance. Don't forget Medusa. you know, working with these legends, these giants of the industry, absolutely top guys in my 20s. Today's system, most super talented people spend the greater portion of their 20s just trying to make it onto the wrong roster. And yes, that has to change. I got to take over ECW a week after my 28th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the time, I became the color commentator on Raw with JR. In 2001, he was 35 years old. He's the same age as me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be there on Monday.
Was it Monday your birthday?
Mm-hmm. No. A couple weeks ago, I'll be there on Monday. I use 35, I'm 35. I'll just kick Jerry Lawler out. I'll be the color commentator then.
So. I would prefer you to Jerry Lawler.
That's true. I'm fucking funny. But,
Pain.
What? Fuck. but I mean, working with JR on Raw allowed me to communicate, to commentate.
Nothing bothers me, by the way.
What?
The profanity.
Fuck.
I know.
Fuck. WrestleMania 17, he got the call. And he was 35. You know
yeah.
what I mean? He'd worked with Brock Lesnar. He was 36. I mean, like, all of this shit, right? But then here's the thing. I mean, he hit the lottery spot, but he never felt entitled, always blessed, privileged. Yes, you know how to score with your opportunities. Well, you know, think it was easy for Punk. Think it was easy for Daniel Bryan. They had to scratch and claw for everything. Every inch of turf they could pry away from the previous generation who made them fucking earn it.
What?
Yeah. It's not about backstabbing. It's not about kissing ass. It's not about pulling a hot stunt and getting momentary publicity. It's about creating your own opportunity and working harder than everyone else looking for the big break, the next chance to go an opportunity. It's not a pep talk. It's the lay of the land as I see it in today's sports entertainment. I would have written a blog, but who knows if anybody would click the link. And while this may be a stream of consciousness diatribe, it's a message to those maybe getting frustrated, a message that was wondering, will I ever get that chance, that break, that opportunity? Dolph Ziggler. But don't let it come to you. Rely on yourself. You think Steve Austin relied on anybody? Did Triple H? Did The Rock? Did Hogan? Did Punk? You know, with great humility, I asked, did I? Fuck no. If there was no opportunity, I created my own. I pushed my way in. Manipulated the circumstances. To beg, borrow, plead, blackmail, bribe, cajole, threaten, bullshit, and or manufacture. Right? All I wanted is mic in my hand and the time frame I had delivered my message, I knew I would score. I've seen it in the business for ages. I saw Shawn Michaels go from a tag team wrestler to the greatest in-ring performer ever. You think that was easy? Remember when Shawn and Marty were blackballed in the business and could only work in Ala-fucking-Bama. Ala-fucking-Bama. Love it. Think it didn't take Shawn Michaels everything and then some to break out of the rockers and get a chance with HBK? Mission assertive and the ability to pack it up. I mean, and it goes on from here. I don't know that we need to. Well, I'm almost done, actually, sir. So, docile, complacent, and humble to a fault won't cut it. While a dose of humility is always needed, main event confidence is just as important. It's time for the next group of superstars to stake their claim, create their own generation for others to follow. Period. Exclamation point. The lecture is over. Pontification is ended. Hope I've been help to anyone who follows this account and maybe who's someone who doesn't. And fucking amen, brudda. That's all it is. I mean, that's...
No, it's not.
Point well taken.
No, it's not.
Point well taken.
What? You don't think that Zack Ryder was working his ass off and the goal was to become a main eventer, and instead he's a mid-card comedy jobber? And how much harder could he have worked? How much more could he have done to stake his claim? It's a different environment. He's right once. He's not right anymore. It's a different environment.
No.
Dolph Ziggler takes the craziest bumps ever, doing anything he can to get noticed. It's not the same environment. It's an environment where somebody's going to sit there going, I'm going to create a group, like Legacy or Evolution, and those are the guys I already see as main eventers, I'm going to pick them. Or I'm going to do...
Well, I would say Evolution, not Legacy, because...
More Evolution, definitely. But
well, all Evolution, actually.
Yeah. But but the point is, it's not the same. Do you think Shawn Michaels, he talked about him breaking out of the... Well, it's two things. Number one, Marty's a fuck-up, right? But breaking out of the Rockers, do you think it was easy for him? No. But do you think he could have done it today, as great as he is? Well, I don't know, because Tyson Kidd's pretty great, and he can't break out because they see him as a small guy who's gonna cut a scripted promo. Shawn Michaels, I'm not sure, could have broken out in this day and age. Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels might have. Bret Hart, I don't think would have.
No, Bret Hart couldn't have.
Bret Hart couldn't have broken out.
No.
Because now it's scripted promos, and we already slot you in a spot, and there is no way to move up or down. It's a different world. I appreciate what he's saying, and he's right for some guys. It applies to maybe 5% of the WWE roster.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, but that's... Okay. What percent of the WWE roster main event shows? I would argue 5 to 10%.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps, but I don't see Christian could have done any more to be a main eventer than he was doing when he was cutting on Cena back all those years ago, and it didn't matter.
This
is not the same era. He's wrong.
No, he's right, because he's not looking at main eventers. He's looking at your superstars. He's looking at all the names that he drops in there, your Rocks, your Steve Austins, your Shawn Michaels. He's looking at your tip-tops, your CM Punks. Do I have your attention now? That was the moment. And that while that didn't propel him to the heights of Austin, Rock, and Hogan...
He might have if they had let him do it, but it wouldn't because the system's changed.
But he is your top guy, or a top guy. He's one of the guys. He's probably your second top guy.
You're right. He got the one chance, and he nailed it that night.
Yes, and it worked, and it did it. And when he's talking about... But he sees that opportunity.
You know what? Daniel Bryan has...
When you talk about that one opportunity, I disagree with you because he had that promo.
Yeah.
He had the ice cream bar.
Sure.
He had the, you know, clown shoes. Did you go to Kozlov's house? Did you go to David Hart, you know, to Harry's house? Did you do that? He had a series of promos over the summer that helped to solidify it. That pulled back, absolutely. Is it more corporate? You're damn right. But did he do that stuff to get himself to where he is now as a top guy? Absolutely.
Here's the thing. He did that stuff. He got the opportunity. Right place, right time, get the opportunity.
Yes.
The way Heyman's making it sound is even if they're not giving you the opportunity, go get it. And that's not possible.
No, he's not saying that. He's saying...
That's the way it reads to me.
No. It's all you need to be doing. And all Heyman says in there is he said, all I ask is the mic in my hand and I knock it out of the park. And all he's saying is that when you get that
opportunity... Wade Barrett, could he have done a better job than he did as the leader in Nexus and the whole thing with...
Well, we don't know. But he's hurt.
Could he have done a better job and did it matter?
No. And no, but again, let's look at...
If they have it, they have it. If they don't, they don't.
Let's look at this now. I'll give you Steve Austin. Mm-hmm. Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass.
It's just something he said once.
Just something he said once, right? And that was at the King of the Ring. Now, they only did the five pay-per-views.
But that's not where we saw him become Steve Austin. He put a headset on Raw when he was still...
Right, that's right, that's right.
He had a three-minute chest talk,
and that's where he became
Steve
Austin.
But
Austin 316 says,
Thanks
I just looked at five pay-per-views in the year back then. The next pay-per-view, Steve Austin beat Bret Hart, didn't he? Or no, he lost to Bret Hart, right?
The next pay-per-view, he lost in the opening free-for-all to Yokozuna.
Actually, he beat Yokozuna.
Right.
But Yokozuna, because the rope snapped in the free-for-all, right? Yeah. So let's not kid ourselves and think that, you know, even a breakout moment.
Like it or not, they gave him that moment because they were punishing Hunter for the curtain call.
Mm-hmm.
He got his chance.
That's right. But
that promo got over, yes, sort of. History, in the hindsight of history,
right.
It wasn't as over the next few weeks as memory serves, but it was over. Got over was the fact that Bret Hart said, I want to work with this guy when I come back.
Yes.
Bret Hart said, I want to work with this guy when I come back, and then he got to cut a series of promos on Bret. And that was the opportunity, more so than the King of the Ring, that he cut the good promos on Bret, and when that match came, it was great heat.
Yes, it was the solidification of it. Now, I don't want to say it's the same thing because it's not, because I can't compare. Well, I guess you could try to compare, but maybe not in star power work rate. Maybe possibly in promo ability.
He doesn't say Austin 316 just kicked your ass in today's scripted environment.
Well, let's just look at...
He doesn't even say it.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the fact that whatever opportunity has been given
there's some things in there that are right, but not all of it, because the business has changed.
Well,
it's
not
possible
right.
anymore.
It's,
some of it's right.
Part of it is, I mean, you're right. It's not all possible. I mean, what he says is, I'm not saying it's 100%. I mean, Stevie Richards is your prime example, right? He got fired because he kept going and saying, do this with me. He gave them too many ideas.
That's true.
And they said, fuck off, you're fired.
I was thinking Stevie Ray, and he said Stevie Richards.
Oh, yes, yeah, Fruit Booty.
Yeah. Stevie Richards, you're right.
You know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, that was...
He wanted to
some time
to
ago,
some,
and he kept giving them. They said fuck off, and he kept giving them, and
released them.
Yeah,
because he wanted to get over and be a star.
Well, because he wanted to. Well, not even if he wanted to.
He just wanted to be on fucking TV.
He just wanted to do something.
Even Zack Ryder still wants his chance, because ever since he's doing this great stuff that's getting over the internet, and then when he gets to TV, they tell him what to do based on that character they've seen, and it's not as good. He's still waiting for his chance to be Zack Ryder himself that he created on television.
Let's be realistic.
He's happier to be on television and making some more money,
but
he's not.
Let's be realistic.
He's still hoping to be Zack Ryder.
Let's be realistic.
He still thinks to himself, I guarantee you, he still thinks to himself, right now I'm sort of over, but if I could do what I did on my internet show, if I was allowed to do that every single week for two straight months on Raw and have my creative control, I'd be over 10 times as much. I know he thinks that.
Yeah, but
he's not going to get that opportunity.
I know, but let's be realistic.
And what more could he have done?
Let's be realistic about Zack Ryder. And yes, if he could be doing the Long Island IZ like he was doing on two things. Part of what he was doing on that Long Island IZ was push me. And underutilized. This is them missing the boat on Zack Ryder,
Dropping
the ball, right? I mean,
something about being on. There was stuff about being on TV. The last time I was on TV, all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, it's so. I mean, once you get
even that, there's a feeling he's gotten complacent doing those two now.
Right, but
now he's on TV.
But I was going to say, once you get there, you can't do that now. But Zack Ryder, or the Z Long Islander, you know, the Hollywood IZ Long Island IZ Zack Ryder. You are never going to hear, here's your winner and new World Wrestling Entertainment Champion, Long Island IZ, Zack Ryder.
Doesn't have to be.
No, but that's...
No, but if you're on TV, and you get over, and you... No, you can see it all the time. Fucking Edge was a comedy act who became a main eventer.
Mm-hmm.
You see it all the time. It is
possible.
You
morph your character.
Get on TV, your character gets good, you're good, you evolve and morph your character into being a main eventer.
Yeah. I understand that part.
Kurt Angle was a comedy character that became a main eventer.
Wow, Kurt Angle was a comedy character as a main eventer, which is part of the reason that Kurt Angle never became anything more than what Kurt Angle became.
True.
But you're right with the whole thing. I was just saying that the Long Island IZ...
Chris Jericho was a comedy character at one point.
Yes, and he had to completely evolve and had that great run with Shawn Michaels and that wearing the suits and doing the Nick Bockwinkel deal, and that's what solidified Jericho, in my mind, as an all-time great.
He got a chance before... Yeah, but even before that, though, he was, you know... Even when he still had comedy character act to some degree.
Yeah. Oh, he was still more serious about it, but I mean,
he was world when he was when he was world champion. He was still a comedy act to some degree.
Well, to some degree.
Well,
he fucking scooped up the dog shit and ran over Hunter's fucking dog.
Okay, but yeah, but
as the go home show for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I know. No wonder people were walking out of that main event. You fucking idiot.
Fuck.
But I was just gonna say, you know what? The previous 3 months or so, he hadn't been until they put him so much with Steph. He still had a little bit of it, though, because he hadn't been to heal that.
Oh, that previous 3 months, Steve Austin and The Rock worked like motherfuckers to get this guy over. Because
And creative took over.
He beat them both in one night. He beat The Rock at the Royal Rumble, and he beat Austin at No Way Out. I mean, it was just, I mean, he couldn't have done any better.
No, they did their part, and then creative came in and fucked
up. No, they did not. Are you fucking kidding me? Don't even fucking fool yourself for a single goddamn motherfucking second. Creative did exactly what Creative was told to do because he beat Steve Austin and Rock at one night. He beats The Rock at the next pay-per-view. He beat Steve Austin the next pay-per-view. Who the fuck does he lose to? Hunter.
Yeah.
Hunter beat the guy that beat Austin and Rock in the same night, then beat him, then beat him, then beat him. Hunter is the greatest in the world.
Yeah.
That's exactly how that was meant to play out.
Yeah.
That was WWE
I'm talking
2002.
About scooping up the shit.
Huh?
But it's not different. It's the same system. I'm talking about the scoopy of the shit. The point is, though, I understand what Heyman's saying, and he's right to some degree. You get that chance, you got to take it. But
I think he's right to. I mean, I think he's right to.
That chance and taking it nowadays means when they give you a scripted promo, deliver it great.
Can I tell you something?
Not make a great moment.
The underlying overall message here, and I agree with this 100%. I've always agreed with this is. Luck is for losers, okay? You make your own luck. And the people that are on the top of the food chain in life, in anything, have done it themselves, that have looked out for themselves, that have scratched, clawed, however they need to do it, and have gotten to the top. Is it always ethical? Is it always... No, but they're there, and they do it. Now, a lot of times, though, as well, I was watching. I'm trying to remember what it was, and it was funny because it was something that's a link that someone had sent to me, and I only clicked it because ironically it was on the Oprah Network, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to be one of the four people that have seen something on the Oprah Network, and it was a series of like 80s stars. You know, like a Morgan Freeman and Bon Jovi and things like that, and talking about how many times the whole point of this special or television thing was how many times they failed before they made it. And I think that's what it is you go balls out with what Heyman's talking about, and you make your own luck, you can get fired. Yeah, you got enough talent, you get hired back. If Dolph Ziggler goes off script on Monday, you think he's going to get fired or buried? Maybe. You think they're going to try again with him, though, because he's so fucking talented? Yeah. They will.
All right, let's move on to the next subject.
All right.
Hit this one to death.
Okay.
Much like me and your mom.
Yeah, she's dead now.
But she can hardly walk.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
You can't when you're dead.
That's true. Clear. Linda McMahon had a little bit of a week.
Yes, she did.
Well, there was that fellow, I'm trying to remember the newspaper now.
I don't care.
Talking about being pornography and
yeah, they quoted and said that she had made all her money with pornography, violence, and something else.
Break it down.
Yeah.
But, so apparently that fellow's being sued. And, Linda didn't know that.
Yes, she did.
Well, she found out about it by reading, like, her news service.
Yeah, she wouldn't find out what her husband's doing. Well, they aren't sleeping in the same bed. That's probably true.
They hadn't talked about it, though.
No, of course not.
No.
So, yeah, Vince threatens this asshole. This asshole laughs at him. The newspaper laughs at him. Vince is so used to being able to threaten and scare people within his own corporate environment, within the WWE, that he thinks he can translate that to other areas of the world. When you can't.
He's always thought that, though.
Yeah, he has.
You know.
Bob Costas.
Yeah, I was just going to say Bob Costas, Parent Television Council. I mean, it's all,
You know what? I think right now, I'll tell you, Vince, you want to try and intimidate me? You can't. Your wife, I think she's a dumb bitch, and I think she's twice as smart as your fat cow of a daughter. Now try and intimidate me. Go ahead.
Well, who the hell is Mo?
Crown Prince of Charisma.
And who the hell is Addy?
The asshole of attitude.
What the hell is We Talk Wrestling?
What fucking show is this?
What a maneuver. Well, that's threw that last one in there just out of instinct, I think. But
he's got him.
He's got him. 1, 2, 3. No. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But anything can happen.
Anything can happen. But anyway, no, that was Linda's week anyway. I don't know. We need to know.
No, it's not much more.
You know what?
She's an idiot and he's an idiot. And
I don't know that I've ever said this on the show. I don't know that I ever will say this again on the show. I want to talk a little TNA.
What?
A little Impact Wrestling. That night we both watched.
Now, let's just go back. Usually I would say to you. Don't pull a Zeno. Now, if I say to you in the past.
Loser.
Let's talk a little. Yeah, let's talk.
Dumb and Dumber was a great movie. Or what was that? Liar, Liar.
Liar, Liar. But anyways, I would say to you, let's talk a little TNA. You would respond with.
Your mom.
I would say to you, let's talk Impact Wrestling. You would say.
Fuck off.
That was it.
Yeah.
This week we're actually going to talk a little TNA Impact, Impact Wrestling. We actually watched it. It was live.
We actually watched it as opposed to all the times we didn't. But
you know what? But the thing is, it's rare that both of us watch it in the same week.
I know.
We're kind of on and off on it.
Well, the whole show at least. I mean, you'll tell me, watch this clip, or I'll tell you, watch this clip, and then that for the show. But
or you hear about it. But yeah. But
we watched the whole
watching the whole thing both individually.
Yeah,
it's rare.
It is. But I you know what the thing is, and I haven't watched the show in a coon's age. And it's been, you know, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've tried it a little bit with the gut check thing and I thought they fucked that up and I'd watched that segment to see if I'd like it. I didn't like it. I didn't watch I didn't watch much of the whole show.
The whole show?
Same thing. It's like a segment here or there that seems important.
Yeah.
I watch it. And it is, it was pretty good. An evolution of the changes they've made to differentiate themselves. They're certainly not WWE light.
No.
Like you say,
they had a unique, their own feel. And you know what? When I'm looking, honestly, at this point, and as we've been watching.
And when you see that feel. You go, okay, I see why they don't want to take this on the road. I see why they want to do this in the Impact song.
Well, yes, but I also see in a time where I'm looking for an alternative. When we're talking about, does Raw need to fucking, you know, get flipped, turned upside down, and we're saying, hell yeah, this was enough of a change for me to be able to, I mean, I'll be honest, now I've set a series recording on my PVR to set them all up for now, because, you know, I this one I didn't actually watch live. It's come on at, it's 8 o'clock.
You didn't watch it live to tape.
It's 8 o'clock Eastern.
It's live to tape so they can edit out the when Dixie dropped the F-bomb.
Yes, yes.
That was awesome.
8 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock here in Calgary. So, I mean, you know, I probably started watching it, you know, at the 8 o'clock time, but then you skip the commercials or whatever. But said it so much, but it really, that's the part that, that was immediately when the show was over. This is different than Raw.
Yeah.
It's not light. It's different than Raw.
It's definitely not. Booking style, not that different in many ways. There's still a lot of sports entertainment style booking.
Yeah.
But presentation-wise, 100% different.
Well, you say sports entertainment-wise. I mean, it's... And we'll get to the Vince Russo thing, but I mean, it's wrestling. I mean, so the whole, you know, like... Dixie and AJ and blah, blah, blah thing. I mean, that's wrestling.
AJ, are they fucking or not?
That's wrestling. Yeah. But that's Elizabeth was mine before she was yours. Woo! You know, like, that's wrestling,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So it's, and then when I look at, and we talked about a little bit the interactivity, and the fans got to vote on the D-Von match.
The Gut Check Challenge, which takes that America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Whatever voice where you're waiting for the judges.
America's Got Talent, the American Idol, all that bullshit,
right?
So
you have a segment like that.
Yeah.
Like you say, the camera use is completely different, not just backstage, but also the way
they
use the camera.
Yeah.
The colors are different now, so it definitely has its own look.
Mm-hmm.
I was very annoyed by two things. Number one,
the muse.
Well, the acoustics within the impact zone still make it sound like a show that's on a soundstage.
Yes, yes.
And that makes it sound like it's a minor league show.
It's the bass.
It's the bass.
You know,
yeah.
The thump, thump, thump. Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds indie-rific. So even though I'm looking at a show that has great production value.
It looks great, but it sounds crap.
But
you're right.
It sounds
like
it's indie-rific, and I can't get over that.
It sounds like ROH.
It does.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, the music, like the music in the gut check, or the music when they're backstage, this dramatic, overtone music, it would be better without that. Because it reminds me, again, it's a TV show. It's too in your face. It's too loud. I don't like that. The show itself, the matches were pretty good. I like the different presentation. Best thing about the show, Taz. That's the best single color commentating job I can think of in the last decade.
Speaking of
it
Taz,
was awesome.
My favorite part also involved Taz. It was Taz talking to Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Like, Taz was talking to Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine, like, just think of that in 1996.
Yeah.
Taz talking to Hulk Hogan. Like, it was just like, fuck, and it wasn't even that. It was so much that, I mean, to me, that was the, at first I went, holy fuck, Taz is talking to Hulk Hogan. And then it's like, when he's going, you know, Hulk, you know me.
Yeah,
and
I know.
I'm like, does he really?
I'm like, backstage.
Yeah.
You
know me.
Like,
you know me. And I'm
yo,
like,
wait,
really?
Yo,
I'm like,
you guys are going to like me backstage.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, fuck. But no, it was like, that to me was hilarious. And, but yeah, I just thought that, that part of it was great. That I liked the, it wasn't too shooty for me when the three of them are talking.
It was borderline.
It was, but it didn't get too much to me, but I thought
they did a good job of lifting the curtain without showing you too much.
Yeah, at first I was like, when they first started talking about it, I thought he was a character the whole time, and I'm thinking, going,
yeah.
Ooh, that's a bit much. But then I'm thinking, well, what are they doing here? Like, if you're gonna do this and pick, should this guy be under contract? Then you should. That's what you should be doing. I guess. Like, I could. To me, it's like I'm always really said. I've always been of the opinion where if you're gonna bitch or really complain about something, then you have to have an idea of what you would do differently. And at first I went, I don't know if I like that, but I'm going, you know, when I'm thinking about it, I don't know that I wouldn't do it any different, so, you know, I got to go with it. So.
Yeah, no, the way they did it, I think I was a little concerned that I had the same idea. But I agree with you. It came across well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
a good show.
Also, in the room where they do the thing that is the couch there, and it's Al Snow and Brother Love and Taz,
yeah.
They have 17 televisions on the wall.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
But, no, it was really, it was good stuff. I enjoyed the show.
Just to look at Joey Ryan.
It was awesome. I'll be back next week. I'm not like you. I'm not ready to commit regularly to this. But even things that I thought were going to suck, like Brooke Hogan came out, got some, the fans were booing her.
Yes.
Truthfully, she came across humble and likable. You know, it was phony, it was set up with her and Dixie.
Well,
she did not have as much go away heat as when she left as when she entered.
No, yeah, but, she kissed the fans' ass a little bit. I mean, she said this, she said, thank you to the fans, thank you. Or thank you, Dixie. Thank you to the fans. Thank you to TNA. I'm going to do my best. Thank you, Dixie. I'm going to do my best. Thank you to the fans. Thank you, Dixie.
I have some big yellow boots to fill.
Thank you, Dixie. I look forward to working through with all the girls. Thank you, Dixie. And I hope the fans will give me a chance. Thank you, Dixie.
That's true. That's what she said.
And that was not as annoying. Well, no, but then she wrapped it up by saying, thank you, Dixie.
So that was not as annoying as what I expected.
That's true. Me either. That's right. But she didn't get the heel hit coming out.
My expectations were really low. She didn't get the heel hit coming out, but not the same when she left.
I didn't
even think that. I was expecting that to be the worst segment of the show.
Yeah.
Still might have been, but it didn't piss me off as much as I expected.
Let's talk about Joey Ryan. I've never seen Joey Ryan before.
Been around for 12 years.
I know. I've never seen him before.
I don't care. He's got his mustache.
He looks like fucking Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. It's awesome.
As soon as he come out, I was like, holy shit, he does look like Ron Burgundy.
It's awesome.
Somebody hired this fuck. Yeah. It's, I mean, when they kept saying, and part of me, and you know what? It's a wrestling show, but I enjoyed it. We talk about I was really hungover, and I don't think it came across when we did the show, and this was, you know, a year and a half ago or a year and a bit ago, the WrestleMania, last year's WrestleMania 27 show.
It came across.
The Undertaker and Hunter match, which I didn't really like at the time, but I still don't really, but...
I do.
When Hunter tombstoned Undertaker, okay, they got me.
Yeah.
Right? Holy fuck.
It was in the storytelling.
They got me, right?
They still got you.
Does Joey Ryan thing in the ring?
Yeah.
They got me. I'm going, that's a huge mistake not hiring this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I was sucked into what they were
doing,
right?
It was such a reality, good reality television.
Yeah, I was going like, fuck.
It was such a good mirror image of good reality, of those judging shows, of The Voice or whatever.
And I was like.
That it felt real, even though I'm sure this guy will be back.
Yeah, and I'm going, like, Vince should hire this guy, right? I'm like, Vince should hire this guy, right? Like, that's what I'm, like,
I'm sure it's part of a ongoing storyline, but they got us there, and they did a really good job with it.
So, see, I don't have that much faith in TNA yet.
I think it is. I think he's going to come back, but...
He hopefully will, but...
I would bet that the guys they bring in that don't get the job, unless he just absolutely blows, are going to Nexus them. Mm-hmm. Are going to pull a Nexus-type deal... Band together, come out of the crowd, beat the shit out of somebody. You know?
Alex Kozlov. Actually, that should be Alex. Or is that Alex Silva? Sorry, Alex Silva. He should be the only one.
He should be the one they beat the shit out of. He should be the only one to actually get hired. You're right.
Yeah, and then they beat the shit out of him and move on to the next.
That'd be great.
I'd be good with that.
You know what else was really good was the.
And actually, he wasn't supposed to. Did you hear that story? He wasn't supposed to get it?
No.
No, Flair went into business for himself.
Get the fuck out of here.
Seriously. Yeah, apparently. I mean, I've heard both ways. I didn't see this show. So I've heard both sides. If I went into business for himself, I also heard that there was...
The thing is, I watched his performance. I never watched where Flair... Like, I watched the match he had.
Yeah, but you didn't watch...
Pissed off at how they did it.
Yeah.
So I never watched the actual judging.
See, now I also heard that the judging that Snow and Pritchard both said yes to him anyway... So that would have been 2 out of 3 anyway, but I've heard both sides. But I have heard that Flair went into the business for himself and that they said to treat it like a shoot, but he wasn't going to get hired. And Flair decided instead to just take it like a shoot and said, you really impressed me with that promo, you're hired.
You got some more information that you read up about him on Flair and the lawsuit, is that correct?
Well, just, I mean, with the... What it basically boils down to is that he had a apparently it's a disc or an email that he sent this Brian Wittenstein of the proprietary information of the contracts and such for to WWE for TNA. So it's now not so much a matter of we talked about last week was the judge was going to determine what's a reasonable time frame that did they sit on it, did they not sit on it. Now it's also a matter of what this Wittenstein is saying is that, no, I told them they had it, and they said, yeah, send it. Just give it to me. And they're going, no, he just said, hey, look, I got this, and sent it. So now there's emails, though. And so it's that email...
Now it's getting interesting.
Well, no, but exactly, but it's going to... I mean, if the emails are either going to say, hey, can you send me that information we talked about? Yeah, sure, here it is. Or they're going to say, hey, I got this, Mr. Laurinaitis or whoever, right? Or, here it is. So that's what's going to determine, I think, that is now the crux, is did they ask or did they not ask? Because if they asked, oh, fuck, right? But if they didn't, then it's, it's all going to kind of go away.
Yeah, no, this will be interesting.
So...
be interesting.
So anyway, that's the extra wrinkle, I guess. In
is there anything else there to hit?
Well, I mean, the other part about we talked about TNA. We're still on.
Okay.
Impact.
I was going to say, you know what I really loved? The
Joe Park.
James Storm.
Esquire.
The James Storm video.
Daddy, are you coming back to wrestling?
Are you going back to wrestling? Cut it off.
Can we cut this?
Cut it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut the fucking thing off, David. Oh, no, guys.
Ring the fucking bell.
But no,
that just was really well done. I thought that video too. So.
I like that video. I said Joe Park continues to be just like if you fucked Brendan Fraser.
This is what he would look
this
like.
This is what he would look like.
He's great because it's so it's such bad overacting.
Thank no,
it works and Bully Ray's so awesome.
Even from the beginning, he's in a free taping. He pays for the same seat every week with his popcorn. He's like the only one with fucking popcorn and a drink. And he always looks surprised. And he comes, oh, it was just tremendous. Goes, I'm not going to stoop to your level.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, fuck, that was awesome. But, no, that was the other part of it.
Bully Ray is great.
The news coming out of there, though, that the big announcement, there was supposed to be a talent announcement, and instead there was a big announcement, is at Slammiversary, they're going to announce the first inductee into the Total Nonstop Action Hall of Fame.
And that same guy will get the world title that night.
You think so?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they're giving Sting, who's challenging Bobby Roode, the world title.
Yeah.
I do think he'll be the first announced member of the TNA Hall of Fame. Now, you and I talked about this a little more than a year ago, almost a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
That we first did this on the show, or whatever it was.
Should do. Well, the question was, should TNA have a Hall of Fame?
And we both
You
agreed.
Said yes, and I said no.
Oh.
I said no.
Did you?
Oh, I don't think that they're...
Well, I think they should.
I know. And
I think this is a good idea. I'm looking forward to it.
No,
I like it at Slammiversary. I think they need to go away from Bound for Glory being their big event and to Slammiversary being their big event.
See, and I'm not so sure that... See, I'm kind of now, when we talk about it, now that it's evolved, I don't know now that they're 10 years old. Maybe they do get one. Okay, maybe they can have one. But, again, it's a TNA Hall of Fame. So... I look at, and if you're going to do one or two guys every year, like, I mean, they can't do a class of 10 like the WWF does, right?
But they should do guys that WWF can't get. If they can get Bruno, that's fucking awesome.
See, well, you talk about that, and I mean, that was what the other place that I was going, because there's the three names, that aren't going in,
mm-hmm.
Right now at least, is Bruno, Randy Savage, and Owen Hart,
mm-hmm.
right? And
Jeff and Owen are a little close.
Well, not anymore.
No.
But...
wow.
But I'm just saying that the crux there is...
The asshole of attitude.
The crux there is Martha, right?
Yeah.
And will Martha let him go into any wrestling Hall of Fame? Right,
yeah.
And that sort of thing, right? So,
and she won't.
No, exactly, and that's why I said that one is kind of the outside. If anything,
now, if they're doing it, they're not going to. I mean, I don't know what you do. Maybe you can probably put something in the hallway as some sort of you're having the same event you're running every single week. You can put something for your Hall of Fame people in the hallway to build a little Wall of Fame type deal plaque for fans when they come in.
Well, they're in Universal Studios, Orlando, for fuck's sake. They could set up a thing, yeah, there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the other thing that I like. Is that
the goddamn Jaws, right? I mean, I went to Universal Studios, Orlando last, not this past April, but the year before. And, I mean, they have a thing with, like, fucking Marmaduke.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and Kathy. And all those.
Again, put some little museum up. The other question is, should WWE have a physical Hall of Fame?
Well, they've been
and
talking
so,
about it.
Where would you put it?
Well, they've been talking about it, and actually in Tampa, I think, was the site that had been, I thought it had already been kind of almost a done deal type thing, but it was always a rumor and then never an official WWE sort of announcement made there. But there has been and has continued to be sort of talk, and I think... That Southern Florida area to me is probably the perfect because you have all those attractions
mm-hmm.
there, so it's kind of like you're like your Disney and your
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. You know, I can't remember Kemp. Where is it? The NFL.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But either way, it's one
baseball
city, it's a smaller
somewhere
city.
Too.
Yeah, and, yeah, yeah. And smaller. So. It's not.
Toronto has the NHL Hall of Fame.
I thought it was Halifax.
No, it's in Toronto. I've been there.
Okay, I thought it was like...
No, it's like smack dab downtown Toronto. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean...
Used to be a bank of Montreal.
No.
But...
Better now.
Yeah.
I think it was once in Hamilton then.
Actually, not the Stanley Cup, but the... I think it's a Conn Smythe Trophy. It's actually in the old bank vault. Like, you walk in the thing. And anyway, I've been there a couple times. But, the TNA Hall of Fame, to kind of go back to that, is... Like, you're saying Sting. I was saying Jeff Jarrett.
See, I say it's Sting, and if they can get him, Bruno. Those are the two.
Well, there's only one, apparently. There's his first name.
Well, first name, well, I think will be Sting.
See, you think, and I don't just, my first thought when they said that, to me, was Jeff Jarrett. Sting is also a good one. See, but again, that's, if we're building on that, then you do one now, and then again, every...
Is that how you get Jeff Jarrett to return, and is he a heel?
Nah, I think, well, if he goes in the Hall of Fame and he's just, I think you just make him a face and then he can kind of go away. I don't know. I haven't heard if Jeff Jarrett has any desire to return. I don't know that.
What is his role right now within TNA?
I don't know. He's just the founder.
Okay.
I don't know what he, I mean, I'm sure he has a behind the scenes, you know, like a job.
Yeah, boy.
There. Maybe now what he does is he sells the merchandise at the house shows because Don West is now the general manager of the Wenatchee Wild hockey team in Washington State.
They must not have been paying him very well at TNA.
No, because I've never heard of the Wenatchee.
Is that in the ECHL, or...?
I have no idea what league it even is, but that would make... Well, no, I don't think
well.
It would be in the EC...
Washington.
I don't think in Washington State they have a team in the East Coast Hockey League. I don't know.
You can't confirm that.
I can't. No, I can't. I'm just saying I would doubt. But they're not in the A, they're not in the W, they're not... So I have no idea, right? So I've never heard of the Wenatchee Wild, and we're pretty...
We're pretty up on our hockey, right?
Yeah, so,
I don't know what he has to be a hockey general manager. I know that if he's moving to Washington State from Tampa to a Wenatchee Wild...
If you're the Wenatchee Wild, all
you're
you need...
You're paying $25,000 a year to your general manager?
They weren't
paying him very well in Tampa.
Well, no. But all you need, and when you're saying I don't know what he has to be the general manager, but all they're looking for... Again, we talked about Anchorman. We'll go to the other one. What was the Will Ferrell basketball...
Semi-pro.
Same idea... In that, I'll
watch that when I get home.
Yeah, that's a great movie. All they're looking for, though, with Don West is a pitchman and someone to sell tickets, right?
And guess what? That's what he did for TNA effectively.
Yes.
They have that now.
And that's what they're looking at is if you're that hockey team. They don't care about, you know, get the best players, get this, get that, because, I mean, it's all going to be crap to play for the Wenatchee Wild anyway, right? I mean, you're not getting Wayne Gretzky here to come play for them, especially when he's retired. But you're not going to get that kind of level of player to go to the Wenatchee Wild, is all I'm saying. So your job is to sell tickets with a less than subpar product. And that, you're right, exactly, is what Don West did. Not so much even the tickets. It's the
merchandise.
The merchandise, because their per-head merchandise was through the roof, and that was all him.
Yeah.
Like 90% him. And now they don't have that. You're right. So now what you've done is all you keep hearing is about how, pay-per-views suck and ratings have been stagnant. But, man, they make money on those house shows. And they could be making money on those house shows, you know, conceivably.
How much longer is he there?
I think he's gone already.
And is there somebody else that can do that job well? Can Jeremy Borash do a good job with that?
And who knows? And again, I don't think Don West was spiteful,
No.
Or disgruntled. So and certainly not to, you know, to me it harkens back to kind of that early days of TNA, because Don West's been there for, well, I think he still had that part of the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that he would maybe show, like you said, a Jeremy Borash or someone,
tricks of the trade, yeah,
how to do that. Now, can they do that as well as Don West?
No.
Probably not. But can they? If you could do it 80% as well, He'll still be all right. Yeah. So, I mean, time will tell with that, but that is a big blow to them.
Let's talk about something else that they were worried about this week.
Uh-huh.
Because they did go live, and they went an hour earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And they advertised the hell out of it. And during the show, you could hear them saying things like, send tweet to your friends.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
Is on live
yeah.
Right
tell,
now.
Tell your friends.
Tweet to your friends.
Yeah, well,
not text your friends, which is how I would actually get a hold of my friends.
Yeah, exactly, right? Well, you could tweet, but,
They might not see it. They'd see a text, most likely.
Well, I see my text and my tweets pretty much on my phone about the same, to be honest.
Yeah,
but,
okay, but...
Anyway, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's more direct, but
yeah. Not everybody's on Twitter. You are.
Yes.
Not everybody is.
Follow
everybody
me on
pretty
Twitter.
Much.
Yeah, anyway.
What's your Twitter handle?
At WeTalkWrestling, or at ADDIE_WTW.
Okay.
Mo_WeTalk.
That's what we said.
And?
What were we saying?
I don't know.
No, I'm just saying that they spend a lot of time in advertising. They're telling people to tweet their friends. They're doing all this and that. And then they did a .9. The rating was down about
this
point,
or that.
they were down about 2 points, .2. Because they were being pulling about a point, 1.1.
Right.
You know, less than what they were with Vince Russo. Not really, but... You know, according to Vince Russo.
I know. But,
yes, they're 0.9, and they're really worried. Should they be?
No. They're, when we talk about WWE, should they panic? Yes. Is it because of this one rating? No. It's all, to me, it's the opposite effect, with TNA, in that, again, new time slot, first week,
we talked about how good WWF was in the 1997. And the ratings still hadn't taken off?
Yeah, well,
1998.
That was part of it, too. And we talk about how TNA needs to consistently do that and how they haven't consistently
done that,
right?
They have a lot of years of bad will that they have to build back up.
They do. But, I mean, at the same time, again, they switched time slots. And, I mean, how many times do we see those one-off three-hour Raws where they start an hour early, and that hour is what kills them in the overall average,
yeah, exactly.
Because people aren't used to it. Well, people were not used to this.
No. And they went up against some tough competition as well.
I guess there's some NBA and shit.
And there was some cable show that did very well.
Is that the Hatfield and McCoys? Was that Raw, or was that? I have no idea. Was that Raw or Impact? I don't even know.
Impact, I believe.
Is that okay?
Or maybe that was Raw.
I don't know. I have no idea what it even is. But all I heard was people saying, well, that was what it went up against. And I'm going, oh, well, then clearly, maybe I'm just out
apparently
of touch.
Apparently it's some big head, though.
I don't know. It doesn't involve wrestling, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
But
and you have no other interest.
That's true.
Addie will be sitting there at home, and I'll be watching a movie or reading a book or playing
a
video game.
They still have those?
And Addie will sit there going, yeah, I'm watching 1996 Nitro right now, if I use, or I'm watching a match right now between Freddie Blassie and Captain Lou Albano
in a cage
from NAFA in 1987. This is it. This is all this guy does.
I watch UFC as well.
Oh, okay.
And hockey. But it's not on right now. But
and you don't necessarily, you're not watching the finals.
No, well, I will be when I have to work, or I actually had a hockey game myself that I had to play in.
More hockey.
Yes.
Not
well,
real hockey. Don't make it
summer.
Sound like
it's
skating.
Summer. I can't skate
more
than
hockey.
Oh, fuck. I'm Canadian. I can't skate worse shit. But, yes. Well, I'm not on my couch eating chips watching that movie. So. Anyway.
Wrestling is your only interest.
Pretty close, yes. What the hell are we even talking about?
TNA
we're
ratings.
Talking about TNA ratings. And as I said, I think this being the first week of a new time slot, I actually expected, you know, normally if they're doing a 1.1, I expected like a 0.910 kind of, I expect it to be lower.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me. What would be concerning to me is, and this is like, they call this the summer series, I think it was, or the summer sizzler or something, because it is that summertime experiment.
The live show.
Yeah. The live and the time slot.
Yeah.
Right? And if they're doing this at the end of July, this .9, I may be concerned a bit. I would also say, I believe. Over the summer, I think they should average a 1.0.
I believe wholly that Wednesday is a better night than Thursday for TNA anyways. I think it's a better
what is
better night Wednesday.
Oh,
would be
well, without the football, right?
Because
football NFL's going every Thursday.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
So
I think you'd be better off. I think you'd be better off going Wednesdays anyways. But yeah, no, it's you know, I mean, I wouldn't worry, but I don't know the ratings pattern. I know the week before they had a bad rating, but the pattern was it grew as the show
went
on. It
grew, yeah. I was going to say, well,
rating pattern, but that's a big deal for it too.
Well,
what is the rating pattern?
The other thing about the pattern is it consistently would have been the highest rated thing on these shows lately. Has been this AJ Dixie, Kazarian Daniels reveal storyline, and they smartly made that the main event.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It was the main event, so their highest rated on average thing. They've taken that and made that the main event. So, in theory, I would think the rating would rise, coupled with the fact that, in theory, I would think that people would be tuning in at 7 o'clock and not 6 out of habit, or in Calgary here anyway, but out of habit would be tuning in, you know, an hour late, halfway through the show.
Yeah.
So, that would be it. Did you have anything to say about the Dixie AJ thing?
No.
Okay.
I will say this, though.
Uh-oh.
That despite only having watched this one complete show for the first time in a while,
right,
I saw this pay-per-view Slammiversary, and I want to see it. I want to see...
Let's see, what's on that? It's a tag match, right?
Well, yeah, the tag match is the big draw for me. But
yeah.
I want to see Bully Ray versus Joseph Park.
Oh, yeah, yeah, me too.
Okay? I don't mind seeing Sting and
Bobby Roode. Did you know that that's
Bobby
for Roode, the title?
Good? Yes. Yes, I do. Because that was actually a pretty good match they had.
I love how he said that. This is going to play as a pay-per-view. Oh, and one other thing, brother. It's going to be for the title. I mean, really, on the pay-per-view, it's actually going to be a championship match? You don't fucking say.
Well, it is TNA.
Thanks, brother.
But the big one is Kazarian and Christopher Daniels. Like, when they won the title from
Joe and Magnus,
I thought it was strange. But now I get it, because you got this. You got you got Kazarian... And Daniels against AJ and Angle, and that should fucking rule.
Yeah.
That has a chance to be a 4.5-star match.
Yeah.
And you know what? Austin Aries, I believe, is going to be taking on, not necessarily this pay-per-view, maybe. We'll see. I think they had a little tease, Austin Aries versus Samoa Joe, and it's going to be an X-title thing. And
that'd
I don't know if it's
awesome.
This pay-per-view or later on. But that's
is it
going to
be an X-title thing, though? Because
I don't
they,
know. They had a little tease, a little backstage thing.
But didn't they? But didn't they change the X-title as now a cruiserweight deal? They changed it to have a weight class now.
I don't.
Or did they give up on that again?
I don't think anybody gives a shit, do they? Nobody gives a shit.
Well,
you
were saying X-title. I mean, if the match is just a match, that's fine. But I mean, if it's for the X-title,
well, I assume I forgot they did that. But you're right. They did, but. It would be a great match regardless. Hopefully it's for the title. Hopefully they think
what
that.
About, now you've got, but the blockbuster tag match, you mentioned the one. I was talking more about the blockbuster tag match, which was Robbie E and Robbie T against D-Von and Garrett Bischoff. Main event anywhere in the country. Continuity is so important if you're going to go all the way in the TNA tag team division. Oh, didn't you hear that one? You didn't hear that one. Huh.
So I'm really looking forward to that world tag team title. I want to see this pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I want to pay for a TNA pay-per-view.
Well, we'll do that.
That's
then. When
the
is
first
it?
Time. I don't know, a couple of weeks probably? I don't know.
I don't know, like on a Sunday or something?
But the point is that this is the... This is the first time since the All X Division show that I've been interested in TNA pay-per-view.
It's called Slammiversary.
Even Bound for Glory, I had no interest in. So, and that is, you know, the one they build the most. So, yeah, Slammiversary 2012 would be the one we're looking for. You're welcome.
Slammiversary.
Upcoming event.
Mine.
Yours.
Versary. June 10th.
So that's next week. Fuck.
What?
Next week.
Yeah, that's next Sunday.
Well, everyone, you'll get a rundown right after. In fact, we may do live commentary, since that gimmick seems to be getting
apparently old. People like that, yeah.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, no, it's, well, we'll do that. Well, people seem to like to watch from what the tweets and the emails that I've been getting have been that people like to compliment the two shows. They like the rundown right after, but then they like to go and listen to, like, our individual shots as a separate deal after.
Yeah, our strangely compelling live shows. hear us eat and still be fascinated.
Listen to us chew food and yet still
that's
make it
why
work.
You were the asshole of attitude and I'm the crown prince of charisma. Did you pull that off?
Yes, yes.
So there you go. What else are we going to talk about here?
I don't know. That's it. In the meantime, no. I was going to say, we do have a question here that we have two. One of which, I'll do the first one here, because we do also have, we watched the Vince Russo You Shoot, so we'll end on that.
No, let's get that out of the way, because there's not much to say.
Okay.
Just your quick thoughts on that, or long thoughts if you have much to say, but I don't. Just the guy's an idiot.
Well, yes. My biggest takeaway, I mean, I watched it, and it was almost 3 hours long. It was 2.5 hours, I guess, if 161, and there was a little bit of a break where they put their fucking commercials in or whatever.
Yeah, Booker and shit like that.
Yeah, two guest bookers and timelines. But anyway, so let's say 150, so an hour and a half, or 2.5 hours.
That was probably too long. That's one of the problems.
Yeah, and it started off pretty slow with some. I mean, the big thing was, everybody, again, when you get there, and they did this with the Dixie Carter thing too, is it like when they're live and they're there and they're in person, everybody's kissing the guest's ass.
Yeah.
And so it's, and you got this stupid retard from PWI, their Brady Hicks or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you had the one guy that was kept cheering every time Vince Russo was, yeah! And it was like, fuck off. Like, yeah, it's like, Jesus. And then...
One person clapping. That's what
that sounds like. It was just stupid. And, but I mean, it started off with some promise when all of a sudden New Jack shows up.
Yeah, and then it became the New Jack You Shoot.
Well, but then New Jack just kept talking, and he wasn't saying anything.
And he wasn't stopping.
No,
and finally, they went off the air. And they came back, they said, oh, sorry, it was technical difficulty, somebody fucked up. I knew Jack wasn't there anymore, and I turned to Eddie, I'm like, they did that on purpose, it's the only way to get him off the stage.
Yeah, someone probably
it wasn't an accident.
New Jack.
How do we get him off the stage? Because they didn't want him to cut him.
Pull the cord. You know?
He did open up talking about the Terry Funk, that was awesome. The Terry Funk,
he said, you were here last time at the Terry Funk roast, and he goes, I don't know about that, I don't really remember that. I was under the influence of a lot of narcotics. And then everybody laughed. He's like, I'm serious.
It was amazing.
That was great.
It was amazing. But yeah, I mean, all I can say about this Vince Russo is there was moments where some of the questions that came in went at him, a few Twitter questions, and more questions on the video. But
yeah.
Here's the underlying message. People live who have a chance to stand up to him when he says bullshit and call his bullshit, instead kiss his ass.
They all kiss his ass. Yeah.
He would never say anything bad about anybody. If he had something bad to say, he would just say nothing.
Yeah.
Or just compliment them regardless.
Yeah, so that was kind of
useless. He never got any inside
shit. Exactly.
He never got any inside shit.
No.
And he hasn't learned a fucking thing. He still doesn't understand the psychology of wrestling, and he hasn't learned anything. He doesn't know why it is his things that he didn't.
And
WCW failed. He had 23 pole matches that he has booked. And his answer was, oh, crowbar and a pole, that wasn't that good because it's been done before. Flag on a pole, done a million times.
Nightstick on a pole.
Yeah, but tequila on a pole, that's great because it's only been done once.
I think he said the first time he said champagne on a pole, he's like, I like it, it's getting more original. And that was when champagne Chris Canyon, right?
Nobody bought it. And it's the same thing. You talk about the Pope Mobile
It was
Ed Ferrara's Cruiserweight Champion. Said, oh, that's great because it's never been done before. I love
no,
that.
No. It's never been. He said.
Oh, it's only been done
it's
once.
It's never been done again. And he goes, and how much stuff in wrestling has always been repeated? That's never been done again. And we're looking at each other, going, yeah, for a reason because it sucked.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Nobody was there.
How many times?
It was the same thing as Dixie, though. I mean, when Dixie was up there on her U shoot, and it was like, hi, Dixie, how are you? You're great.
But no, how many times has the WWE done a storyline where the babyface loses a title match, will never get another match unless he wins the Royal Rumble, then he wins the Royal Rumble and it pops a big pay-per-view buy?
Twice.
At least? No, more. It's happened many times.
It did.
It doesn't matter if it's been done before, if it's what people want and if it's a storyline they'll invest in. He doesn't get it. He's an idiot. He won't admit that the Pope Mobile was a bad idea. He won't admit David Arquette was a bad idea because
No, again, and well, and part of the thing, I mean, is again,
he won't learn from shit.
No, but and the thing is that nobody ever calls him on these things.
No,
and it's you know like when
fucking
he says when he says and well, and part of it though is that you don't have the
well, Figure Four Daily apparently wasn't there.
No, but you don't
and
have
promoting it. Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez apparently had nothing to do with this shoot.
Yeah, and, he's like, and he was pretty pissed at that. Now,
well,
I know
the host Sean, whatever his name is,
Sean Oliver. But I know that they had the
Oliver knows.
No, but they had the Oliver knows. But they had a the YouTube embed video place on there.
Yeah.
But and then fucking half the goddamn questions were from the F4W board.
Yeah.
You know, A Dizzle and Sinbad and guys like that. They're yeah. asking questions. So
yeah.
it's like, well, whatever. But the thing is with Russo's, nobody fucking calls him. So, but again, part of it is that nobody has that shit at their fingertips either. The way he talks about it, he's like, you know, we had Dave when David Arquette won the world heavyweight title. Courtney Cox was filming a movie, and we had the WCW title with Courtney Cox and Kurt Russell and Kevin Costner. Tell me how that is bad.
Yeah, and I immediately turned
tell
to
me how that rating is bad. And it's like,
now I turn to you immediately, and I'm screaming, I'm going, because if it was the hardcore title, nobody would care. It's your world title, and it fucks up the lineage.
Yeah, and you're screaming about that.
I'm screaming because it's so obvious that somebody just take him on and hammer out his
bullshit. You're saying that, and I'm looking at going, he goes, well, where's the evidence that that's bad publicity? And I'm going, well, the evidence is in 8 months later when the company no longer exists.
Yeah, the company's out of business.
And the evidence, if I had
it,
well, yeah, but and I would have had that, and you would have had that, but, I mean, and if you were able to actually look it up, the evidence would have been that, I'm sure it did a shitty rating.
I'm sure it did.
You know what I mean?
And you know what? And I'm going to read Death to WCW one more time. Just going to think of it. but that's the other thing is, if he had his back up against the wall and just wouldn't admit that these things are wrong,
yeah.
and be like, no, I'm all and be all defensive,
yeah.
I'd almost respect that more than a guy
well,
who really believes him. These things are good. And is so stupid and doesn't understand the business and doesn't understand what he did wrong and won't ever learn from it. And that's why TNA never improved as much as he says it's because people handcuffed him there. Well, people handcuffed him in WCW too, the censors.
Yeah.
People are always handcuffing him. It's never when it was great in WWE, Vince McMahon never handcuffed him, never changed anything. He just added some things that made things better.
That's
they
right.
never changed a thing because he's a genius.
Yeah.
And that's how you respect a writer. And this is what the fucking problem is with Vince Russo is he really believes that this shit is good and
yeah.
he's too stupid to get it and understand why. And it's okay to make a mistake if you learn from it. Then it's not a mistake, it's a lesson. His are mistakes because he's never learned from them and never will, and he's made a bunch of them.
Well,
fuck you, Russo.
And that's the thing is that it comes off that where I mean and like you said, if he was willing to admit, even if he was willing to admit that only say 20% of his ideas were shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
he couldn't. They asked him at one point in time, they bring up the shit list, and they're like, bring up all these angles. They brought up like 10, and they're like, rate these up from worst to first.
I have 10 angles and go from fifth to first, and I'm going to give you 10, because you can then leave 5 off,
yeah.
right? And he's like, no. He's like, all of those are great. Or he just said, I don't dislike any of those. He said something about...
He said the only idea that I... The only mistake I wish I had made was firing Glenn Gilberti,
yeah.
The fucking...
The Disco Inferno.
Disco Inferno. Plus, he said that this gentleman created the internet, apparently. How did this come about?
Oh, yes.
1991. He's,
Well, that's what he's talking about. They asked about... somebody asked about the Long Island screw job, which, for those of you unaware, is Vince Russo... when he owned a video store in New York area, he sponsored John Arezzi's had a wrestling radio show in the early 90s. And then eventually he come on the show and was the co-host of the show. And this was around the steroids scandal.
So Rosie and Dave Meltzer were slamming. Vince
yeah,
McMahon.
And there was an idiot that called it. There was one idiot that called it Titan Gate, but no one else picked up on it.
Yeah.
And but he was saying that Meltzer and Arezzi were slamming it anyway, and Russo was going well, and then he says that how are they slamming the guy that invented this business, Vince McMahon?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Vince McMahon invented...
Third-generation wrestling promoter, Vince McMahon,
invented the business. But then he said that John Arezzi was one of those internet guys.
Yeah, in 1991.
So we kind of looked at each other, and I immediately wrote down, John Arezzi invented the internet. I had
that
no
is
idea.
Note that
a lot
is on
of
our path.
A lot of people say it was Al Gore.
Fuck that.
But,
it was John Arezzi.
John Arezzi. No. But John Arezzi also created global warming.
What an asshole!
It was just Emmy Russo. But
Russo.
Both, yeah. I mean, either point is valid.
Either bit.
But the only idea that Russo was proud of creating that I agreed with him was Judy Bagwell on a pole.
That was funny.
To this day, I love that. But
Buff Bagwell's mom, the heavyset 350-pound Judy.
Well, it ended up being on a forklift.
Yeah.
But, that's just Judy Bagwell on a pole. It just made me laugh.
All right, let's get to a couple of these questions we got here.
Yes. Should we go to Simon? Simon Says here.
That's Simon Says?
Simon Says.
Okay, well, let's get this. First off, I'm just going to say Simon
says.
From the Thwipping Boys.
Who?
Simon, the Thwipping Boys. There's a comic book podcast, but Simon also...
Sorry to hear that.
It's a comic book podcast, the second best on the net, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
You, We Talk Comics interviewed Will Smith. I heard.
That's funny to you and me. Nobody else knows why that's funny.
No, the Men in Black, though.
Yeah. The publishers of the Men in Black and the...
The creators of the Men in Black.
The publishers of Men in Black and the... And the guy writing the next Will Smith movie. But anyways, there's something like that. But anyways, let's we talk comics the best. But pretty freaking close. But actually, I'm going to put a link up. He sent this to us, Simon, he sent this to us at the Wrestling at We Talk podcast. You probably found that somewhere on our website in the links section or something like that, or the contact us. Unfortunately, we never checked this email. So this is about 2 weeks old, but we're going to get to it now. In the future, just email Mo at We Talk Podcast or Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com.
Yeah.
So Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com, Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com.
ADDIE.
Or MO, no E. So that, but yeah, we do appreciate the question. And also, Simon on the Thwipping Boys website does some wrestling blogs. He's a very talented blogger. Everybody should check it out. I'm going to put a link up in our friends section to Thwipping Boys, both on WeTalkWrestling and at WeTalkPodcast. So we'll get that out there. But go on with the question here.
Oh, I can go now?
Fucking right.
Are you done yet?
What?
Do I have your attention now?
Will you talk?
Hi, guys. It's Simon from Thwipping Boys. We already went through this.
Read the whole email.
Why is he repeating himself?
Oh.
Anyway, what he's done is he's watching Superstars, and it's Hunico.
So he watches more wrestling than us.
Apparently. Not than me. He watches more current wrestling than us.
Yeah, true. YouTube.
Yes. Hunico against Tyson Kidd is the match. Hunico gets a little bit of mic time, I guess, and he talks in both English and Spanish, saying he and Camacho are the future and blah, blah, blah. And then the match starts. Of course, because it's Hunico against Tyson Kidd, a USA chant breaks out.
Yeah, Canadian and a Mexican.
Yeah. So he, although born in Texas, the crowd is chanting.
Tyson Kidd was born in Texas?
No, Hunico.
Oh.
Anyway. It's crowded chanting purely because he's foreign, or Hunico is foreign, Mexican as he's portrayed, right? So, anyways, his thoughts on these kinds of USA chants. Shouldn't be the WWE be working to dub these casually racist and xenophobic chants in post rather than trying to convince everyone Daniel Bryan is a heel?
It's 2012.
Yeah, well, that's just it. I mean, it's tough. Because, again, WWE has conditioned their audience this way, right?
You do hear this in other events. If you watch UFC...
Oh, Joe Rogan goes fucking mental when...
You watch UFC, somebody will start chanting
wasn't
USA.
Wasn't a Louisiana show or a Kentucky show or something, a Louisville show or something, where he's like, these fucking Kentucky backwood people or whatever, like, get over it or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
That was a few years
you know
ago,
what?
But he went
but,
off
but
on
But he's
them.
Right.
Yes, he is.
You do hear it in
I think
UFC,
he's left-handed,
not much.
Actually.
What's that?
I think he's left-handed, actually.
He could be left. Well, I know he's politically left.
Is he? Yeah. You know what he called Dixie Carter, don't you?
I have a great tweet for you guys coming up. But anyways, what the hell were we saying? But Joe, see it, you'll hear it sometimes muted within UFC. Joe Rogan will call it stupid. The conditioning of the fans not to do it that
way.
And you can see a guy like Junior Dos Santos or these guys become big draws. George St. Pierre is a big draw despite being a French-Canadian.
Yeah.
That's
probably the biggest handicap to get over.
At least not for Medicine Hat.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But, no, I mean, just trying to get over it in other walks of life. I mean, and really, it's a combat sport thing, and I think it's because...
Manny Pacquiao's a big boxing draw as a guy who...
Well, but even you look at... people don't chant USA at Yao Ming.
No.
Right?
No.
Or Yao Ming's a past example. But, Lin. Jeremy Lin, right?
Jeremy Lin. Dirk Nowinski. You're right. They don't. And you know what? They should be editing that out in post because, frankly, it makes their audience look...
stupid.
Stupid. He called it, xenophobic and...
And racist. But, I mean, it also makes them look stupid because a Canadian is fighting a Mexican and you're chanting U.S. fucking A. You idiots.
Well, not only that...
Where were they? Which Carolina were they in?
Oh, they could be in many states.
It's a couple weeks ago, so...
But the other thing is that it's not just a WWE tradition, it's a wrestling tradition.
Have the foreign
heels. To many degrees, you could say they've even tried this with Lord Tensai.
Well, yeah.
Like, it is a wrestling staple.
Let's touch
on
the...
So they need to change, of course, their mindset, but they've got many years worth of conditioning the fans to change.
You know, we can touch...
But you start by editing that out.
Let's start with, someone that just passed away, Hans Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
Just passed away this past week. Big star on the Dumont Network. A French-Canadian who played the role of a German.
Yeah.
Post-World War II, right?
It jumped the shark, not when the idea of foreign heels, Bret Hart made it work. I thought it was going to be stupid. He made it work because they were only heels in America.
Well, and that was a different dynamic, and it was...
Well, he found the logic in the situation.
Well, he did, but the other part of it is that we talked about Germans and the Japanese and the Russians. Canadians were new.
Yeah.
In terms of being the quote-unquote heel, right?
As much as I respect Lance Storm, when Lance Storm did it and you had fucking Elix Skipper, who they said had played in the CFL. And
Mike Awesome, though.
Yeah. When you did this, it jumped the shark. Even though in TNA, Team Canada kind of worked because the personalities were good and it was Scott D'Amore booking and
they did their best. No, I don't think it really
It was
did.
At a small scale anyways. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's right.
The idea of foreign heels, the last good one was and probably will be the Bret Hart Canada Hart Foundation. And you look at Muhammad Hassan, that never even got the heat that it should have.
No, that didn't even get off the ground, right?
Forget about their fucking things up and offending the network and having to fire him over it because, it's his idea. It never even got off the ground. It got the kind of heat that they thought it would. They talk about the patriotism of a John Cena, and they have him cutting this video with the scripted lines talking about his patriotism in his last show. As Eddie's in the bathroom, I will now go on a rant. They talk about this, you know what, but a patriotic guy presented nowadays doesn't work. When Hacksaw Jim Duggan comes out with the flag and he's waving it back and forth, it's a nostalgia pop as much as a USA pop. But you know what, if they had... Ryback start doing that, I don't think it would work with the fans. So it's just a different era. But the USA chance, like I say, it's a different era anyways, and that gimmick won't get over to the same degree. But Ryback is absolute, or not Ryback, but the USA chance is absolutely, like you say, I don't know if it comes across necessarily racist, but xenophobic is probably a good word for it. I think racist might be a little strong, but I mean... You look at Lord Steven Regal, he's not on TV much, but because we're going to get to him next. Lord Steven Regal, he's not on TV much. He's British. When he comes out, he gets a massive pop despite the country he's from. Foreign heel things, it's gone away, but so has the idea of the chance. You can condition people not to do it, just like they can try and condition people not to do the what chance anymore.
I'm sorry, what? No, I agree with you. I can hear you from the pisser. But I think we were talking about, yeah, Canada and Bret Hart, because of the different dynamic, was the last time that worked. I mean, you looked at Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik working in the 80s, because, again, it was very there and very real. Still, in terms of what the culture in the United States is. But then you look over at an economic situation in the early 90s, and Yokozuna and Lex Luger not working, right?
No,
that
no,
was Canada, that was U.S. Japan, and that didn't work. I mean, you think of a guy like you said Lord Tenzai. I mean, I think it's time to get rid of the Japanese heel. I mean, Kenzo Suzuki didn't work.
Of course, it didn't help that they're bringing him out still angry about fucking...
Well, no, they tried Hirohito.
Hiroshima.
Yeah, they were going to call him Hirohito.
Yeah.
And that was in Calgary, actually, is where that debuted, that Hirohito vignette. And then they dropped it and brought in Kenzo Suzuki.
Yeah.
But, I mean, then you talk about, you know, Rene Dupree and those sorts of things. It's never worked. And you're right, Bret Hart's been the last one since. And then Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik probably the precursor.
And you know, I'm going to say that, Sergeant Slaughter got some heat, sort of, you know, and for what he did. But
how much of that was, again, the person playing? How much of that was,
yeah,
Bob Remus? Because then you bring in Corporal Kirshner, and that, God rest his soul, and that doesn't do anything.
He's still alive.
Oh, yeah, that's
still
right.
Still alive.
Oh, this just in.
When you talk about, like we say, I don't think the USA chants are necessarily racist, xenophobic, sure, but... What's racist is until Alberto Del Rio, until ADR was there,
mm-hmm,
you've only had two Latin American wrestlers. You've had a luchador,
mm-hmm,
or a thug,
yeah,
for basically the last 15 years. Those are the only two you got. And it doesn't matter if it's TNA or WWE.
In terms
and
of Mexicans, you mean?
Latin American in
general.
Oh,
Latin American. Okay, yes, because that's
in
a different...
In general.
That's different,
I guess,
right?
I guess not. Primo, I guess, wouldn't count as that. So, or Carlito, I guess. But certainly,
Carlito would have started off kind of a little bit of as a thug. I mean, when you think about,
yeah,
Jesus, right?
Yeah.
With Aaron Aguilera,
that's
coming
right
in, right? So
I mean, but definitely when you're talking Mexican,
yeah,
in general, Latin America.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Definitely, basically ever since Los Barriquas,
Rain Man,
every single Latin America character has been a thug or a luchador.
Great
that's
music,
it,
by the way, though.
Los Barriquas?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, Lisa.
Well, you want to throw it in the end of the show?
Huh? Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
But I think that's where the racism is. The gimmicks can still be more racist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing is worse than Sean Daivari coming out in TNA and having the sound of fucking planes crashing before he came out.
Well, I don't think anything. I mean, and but that's
it's
just
fucking offensive,
yeah,
as hell.
But that's Sean Daivari. I mean, look what he did on our show. That's a recap.
Get
a recap clip there.
Yeah, we're trying to get a serious interview with the guy, and he just comes out and do that.
I know, bastard. But let's flip over to from there. Do we have anything more to say about this?
Let's get to our last question.
Thanks very much, Simon, for
like
sending
you
said, that.
We'll put a link up
boys
so you guys,
yeah,
can check out his blog.
That's right. No,
and we tried to have him on at a round table, and it fell apart last minute. We may someday have a round table. Maybe you guys
will
hear.
Yeah, we keep
voice
it's in the. It's in the theory, right?
It's
in
the
theory, yeah. So,
well, if he doesn't break his teeth up.
Yeah, well, that's
time.
True. That's what happened, wasn't it? Yeah, he had some dental work or something, right?
Yeah,
yeah, geez,
and we were
British.
Surprised he's British.
Yeah.
He had teeth.
Not that we should hold that against him, but.
All right.
I was
on
talking
question.
To. Speaking of British, I was talking to Marshall McDowell on Twitter, and we were talking about underutilized guys. And who we thought were the most underutilized guys in the history of just the business in general, WWE, WCW, all those sorts of any of the big name in the last little while. He had pointed out, of course, William Regal doing it. And we've had Simon from the Flipping Boys talking about William Regal, of course, the Queen's Jubilee today. So there you go.
I watched in the Royal Albert Hall last night?
Oh, was it the Battle Royal?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that was won by Davey Boy Smith.
Yes.
When
Andre
came out and helped because Earthquake and was it Earthquake and Typhoon that were double teaming on him?
Yeah. Who was the third? There was another heel also before that. It was like the last guy.
Yeah.
And it was Jimmy Hart was out there. It was great.
Oh, that's when he won the coveted Samovar Trophy.
That's right.
From the Royal Albert Hall.
The one and only appearance of it, the coveted
Samovar. The coveted Samovar Trophy from the Royal Albert Hall.
It was fucking awesome.
Yes, Andre the Giant and Undertaker in the same match.
That's right. That's why I watched it.
Yes, I know. That's why I know it was on YouTube. I've seen that, too, in the last, like, couple weeks, actually. Yeah. That's why.
That's why you remember everything.
It says it, it's like in brackets. It's like,
really?
Just wait
so
till the end.
You're kidding me. You are on YouTube?
I know. What?
I don't know, reading a book or...
Still have those. But anyway, Marshall McDowell, wanted to know. Most underutilized guys, he threw out William Regal.
I haven't stopped laughing yet, so keep going.
All right, William Regal, and I had to agree. I mean, when you look at Regal, to me, the breakout point for Regal was Eugene. In that... He was the guy. He was the heel. He was the commissioner. The guy coming off that being the commissioner, the heel. The guy just kissed Vince McMahon's ass.
Yeah, he was. And, well, he was Eric Bischoff's.
Just a lackey or a servant or whatever, right? And of course, Eugene was Bischoff's nephew, and so Regal was assigned to him, and that's what he's like. He's a bloody window licker. And just doing all that, but then but then he become fond of Eugene, and so when Evolution was fucking around with him and stuff because he loved Triple H, Regal started to stand up. He's like, I'm not gonna let you do this, and now I remember him standing on the ramp, and just saying, I'm not gonna let this happen.
Just while you keep going, because you're at the computer, can you look up his age?
Regal's age?
Yeah.
Yeah, Regal's, he's got to be, do you think he's 40 yet?
I would guess 40
40
to 42.
45, you think? Not even.
Probably not even. But maybe, let's just get...
44.
44, okay. Yeah. And what's Triple H's age?
98.
I said Triple H, not Undertaker.
Oh.
See, that's really quickly here.
42,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, because they were tag team partners in WCW.
Briefly, they were tag team partners, and that's when, and it was Regal.
Regal's been around for a long
time.
Well,
no, but it was Regal that told Hunter to go to WWF.
Yeah.
Said go. And then that's when Bobby Eaton came in as the early
leader. Triple H is a guy with a lot of power in the company.
Yeah.
Who is, and he considers Regal a friend.
Yeah.
And knows he has talent.
Vince doesn't like his style, which has always been the problem. But
well, one of the problems.
Well, I mean, other than him being his own problem,
that's the biggest one.
But at this point,
we talk about Paul Heyman saying, "You get that chance, you knock it out of the park."
Yeah,
he got that chance and failed the wellness policy.
When there was a wellness policy, but he had that chance prior to, because this,
and
whole,
screwed that up
this
too.
Whole Eugene thing that I was talking, yes, of course you do, and but the whole Eugene, to,
and
that's
he screwed that
the,
up.
The part that I'm getting at though is, to me, is when I thought you could just take him and shoot him to the moon and make him as great was when he stood up that promo when he stood up to Evolution on the ramp and said, don't do this to Eugene, and I'm not going to let this
he's
happen.
He's a great promo.
And
I thought, he's a great promo.
But
he's funny.
Just tremendous.
He's a tremendous promo, and he's funny, and most people really love his work. But you know what? When he has a couple opportunities and he does something to make the company not trust him, it's not surprising they don't give him a third opportunity. And quite frankly, most people who have done what he did are still not employed with the company.
That's true. And
the fact that he's still employed, even if he's not a permanent
role, is a testament to his talent.
To his talent and to a few, some other things.
Yeah.
So, in some ways, he should be grateful. I agree. He was underutilized.
I do, too. I think it's a combination of underutilization and...
his own worst enemy.
Yeah, and his own demons, right? So,
and you know what? Right now... After watching Impact and knowing that Taz had great psychology and made those matches matter,
mm-hmm.
made the things matter, and cared and made me care,
yeah,
I think that's what's needed in the WWE.
Think that's underutilized?
And I think that's where he should be utilized now. I think.
Oh, Regal, you mean?
Regal, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Regal should be, not Jerry, Booker T is entertaining both for when he tries to be and when he tries not to be. Jerry Lawler usually doesn't care. When he cares, he's good.
I think Lawler needs to go. I've thought that for quite a while now.
I think Lawler, and if I could have Steven Regal and not have Lawler at all, if we could have that NXT announced team on all the shows.
Well, to me, I do Regal.
That would be great.
Yeah, Regal and Cole on Raw, right?
Yeah.
And then you could do Cole, Matthews, and Booker on SmackDown. Right? I mean,
but I definitely think this is it. You want to talk about using him now?
And then,
this is the best way to use him. At 44 years old, with a couple of wellness or problems or different problems for different fuck-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Here
you go, though. I mean, think
about... Could he have one last run? Sure.
But then think of back in the day when you had, you had Jesse Ventura and Vince McMahon, and you had Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon, and at WrestleManias you'd have Monsoon and Ventura on... you could have Cole...
Name those teams again.
Monsoon and Bobby Heenan.
You said Bobby Heenan and Jesse Ventura, and I'm saying William Regal and who? Because Booker T is not as good as Bobby Heenan and Jesse Ventura.
All I'm saying,
could be close.
All I'm saying is that you had Bobby Heenan and Gorilla
Monsoon.
I
agree.
And then you had...
But it can't be Booker.
No, but just think of the possibilities that at WrestleMania, then you could have William Regal and Booker T call the action.
Oh, and they were the
just
king?
The two.
The king and his page.
Just two of them together.
Well, that would be awesome.
Perfect.
The king and his page.
Yes. And Hornswoggle could be the timekeeper.
Little bastard.
See? There you are. But, no, I think that Regal was definitely an underutilized person. I mean, he got his break. I just thought that, I mean, unfortunately, demons for him, and I mean, it's in his book, Walking the Golden Mile. But
which is a wicked book.
It is. And I've actually read it.
I thought I read it to you.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was on tape. But I found Waldo. But the thing was, he had his own deal. I mean, when he was a man's man, how young he was.
Yeah.
You know, 28 or whatever there.
Yeah.
And had all that there. And so, I mean, he's had the potential. I mean, for the most part, I mean, even when he was the commissioner, William Regal. You know, he could have worked, but he didn't.
Well, that was when he had the wellness policy, right?
No. I'm talking like before the invasion when he had Tajiri.
Yeah.
You know, like he just didn't wrestle.
Well, the thing is they had Tajiri, and they had set up, the match that was set up was him versus Foley.
Mm-hmm.
And Foley wanted to do it, and they decided against it, and it never happened.
Yeah, I know.
And
that
it could have been a big, big match and big deal for Regal.
Yeah.
And then the next time when he was really getting the heat, and this was brave of them, because this could have backfired, and if he wasn't such a good performer, it would have. And that was when he would turn the lights out,
yeah,
in the arena to show his power as the but then the wellness.
Yeah.
And he had another. He had, like you say, what was it he did when the Eugene thing? There wasn't wellness then, but he did something.
I don't even remember what it was, but he did something, and he got taken off. He got suspended. Yeah.
So that's it. So yeah, I mean,
I don't think he got suspended.
But I think unfortunately his day has passed. You could maybe give him one run at.
I don't think you could
maybe give him one run at like a U.S. or IC belt, but how much do those really mean now? So I think you're better off. Like I say, I would love to see him as color commentator. I think he'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Or on television in some sort of managerial role because he's a great talker and funny as hell.
Now, do we want to pull that out to any other guys that you think? Like, I mean, he threw out like Goldust and a Shelton Benjamin. I was talking about D.H. Smith. We're talking about John Morrison. Any other guys you think were sort of anybody you think that, I mean, were not utilized through, or underutilized, but really no fault of their own kind of thing? Like, I mean, talk about Regal and his demons. I guess you could probably say that about DH because he got popped. I mean, that was more a political thing, right?
Yeah.
So anybody else you think is underutilized that,
How much time you got?
Could break down. I mean, I'm just thinking the most then. Let's just throw it a name then if you got a million.
I mean, I could think of a lot of tag team guys like that. I think Rikishi never quite got where he could have gotten to.
He did it for The Rock.
Yeah, but despite that, I think he's one guy. I think Sean Morley or Val Venus in his day could have gotten a little more. It's difficult. I mean, you say that they didn't screw it up themselves. We're not necessarily privy to everything back there. But I don't like to say the name. And, yes, he got the world title once. But even then, he wasn't focused the company. And the crowd was into him. And that is Chris Benoit. was still underutilized despite everything with them.
Well, I mean, when Benoit got the belt,
he still wasn't the focus of the company.
No, I mean, he was fighting Kane, and the focus was the was Eugene. We just talked about Eugene Evolution bullshit that was going on.
I think
on,
that
right?
was
so,
a big one.
That is a big one. I think of you know, like I said, we talk about DH Smith, someone that we never saw do anything, right? We talk about potential and not even getting an opportunity. That to me is underutilizing. When you don't even get to show your wares, right? Then you're not being utilized.
I mean, if
at
people
all.
Say Shelton Benjamin, I say to some degree more than Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I mean, Shelton Benjamin to me
got a few chances at least.
Well,
Christian's been historically underutilized.
Yeah, it's hard to call a two-time champion underutilized. It's funny when you say that, right?
Yes.
But I agree. It's funny saying that is all. But I mean, with Shelton had his IC runs, his tag team runs. Obviously, he had that match against Sean, but he had the one against Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I remember texting. I don't even think it was texting you.
You weren't texting me, no.
I think it was my buddy Jeff, actually. I texted and I said, I remember texting him going, even though Shelton's going to lose, this match is great.
Yeah.
And then he won.
Yeah.
I was like, holy fuck.
You know, a guy who I think was wildly underutilized within the WWE and is only sort of utilized well now?
John Cena.
No.
Oh.
Bully Ray. Bubba Ray.
Mm.
Big Bubba.
I always thought when he was doing they called him Dancing Bubba when the brand split happened, when they split him and Devon up.
Yeah.
I really thought at that point they should have been going to a paper. This was Hunter again. This was when Hunter was at his dirt worst. And he just got the world title just before Katie Vick. And he got that world title. And he had, on Raw, he was handed that Raw title, the big gold belt.
Yeah.
And he already had... Then they were doing pay-per-views. They hadn't split the pay-per-views yet. There were still joint pay-per-views, but it was still a brand split.
Mm-hmm.
And you had RVD that he could have fought on the September, I think, show. And then he had Kane,
mm-hmm.
and he had Bubba Ray. But he had RVD and Bubba. And I just thought the way they were building it up on the TVs is that you could have had Bubba Ray at whatever it was, No Mercy, or whatever the October show was. Just a B show, but a new guy. And Hunter was going to win. That's fine.
Yeah.
You could have given him that chance, and instead you didn't, and it never come about, and the Dudley Boys got back together.
The Dudley Boys, when there was a point where I would argue that they were getting the third biggest pop in the company behind The Rock and Steve Austin.
Oh, when they were putting,
and that's underutilized.
When
they were the third most over, when they're putting women through tables.
Yeah,
the
women
third
through
most
tables.
Over,
yeah,
third most over.
Leading to
company.
Stephanie. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
I mean,
was the build, was to put Stephanie through the table,
Stephanie
right?
Stephanie through the table. So, I mean, there's a lot of guys. I mean, even a Bill Goldberg in WWE is underutilized despite getting a world title again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
mm-hmm. No, it's...
But, I mean, I would need to spend some more time, because I bet you if we look back to the 80s and we look back to... I mean, you talk about how hard it was to get a title in the 80s. There's guys who we know were great that never got a title. I mean, is Curt Hennig, because he never got a world title run, underutilized? Because he certainly had a prominent spot, but he didn't get the spot, and he was great. So again,
not his liver spot, not his dog spot, but the spot.
The spot.
And I was actually talking to Curt Hennig, too, when he said that. So it's great. But you know what, though? But that's a different era, because when you talk about Curt Hennig never got the world title, he got the Intercontinental title, and I think there then was Jake the Snake underutilized because he got no belt. Was Bad News Brown underutilized because he got no belt, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
look at those guys. I mean, I guess Beefcake got the tag, but when he became the Barber, Brutus the Barber, no belt, though.
Yeah, no belt.
Rick the Model, no belt. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, guys like that, you either got, there was such a glut of them, Ravishing Recruit, you either got the Intercontinental title or you got nothing, because Hulk Hogan was the man, right?
Exactly.
And that's what's missing, I think, now. I mean, like, we talked about it before when it was, Randy Orton's in this number of champ, and this guy, John Cena's this number of champ. Well, I think it was the four-way match we were talking about. You know, this guy's been a million-time champ, and this guy's been a million-time champ, and this guy's been a million. What does it mean? Nothing, right?
Nothing.
So, it's, you know, when you're talking underutilized, to me, I might look at a Bad News Brown.
Rick Rude, of course, got the IC belt once, right? And that's it.
Once. Yeah, once. That's you right. Know, that's right.
It's hard to imagine nowadays, because he was great.
Mm-hmm. But everybody was great, and it was really, I mean, like, there was so many.
Well, not everybody.
Not everybody, but the majority of guys at that level.
Outback Jack. I appreciate him killing Bin Laden for us. But
yes, and Godzilla. But, I mean, the thing is there was, but that's a, the majority of the guys on the television were great. And the TV was different, and the squash matches were there, and everything slowed down to the point where, as I said, not hard.
Kevin Nash, though, in an era where everybody got, or not Kevin Nash, Scott Hall.
Yeah.
In an era where everybody got the world title, didn't get a world title.
Was he
underutilized?
Well, I mean, we talked about Regal's demons.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, and we talk about with Scott Hall.
You can call me Mo.
Scott Hall as getting in an era when everybody got the world title.
Yeah.
Scott Hall come just before that era. Like, that NWO, that era really started with Russo.
Yeah.
Because in WCW, not everybody got the title, but the same, like, seven guys just kept getting it. You know, you had your Sting, your Luger, your Hogan, your Giant, your Flair, I mean, like, all Savage.
We can talk about a guy who got a title here. Once, but it took a long, long time, and I think Booker T was underutilized.
Yeah, I was thinking that earlier when we were talking about Regal, and I was thinking that era. I think Booker T, you know, the thing with you know, that's what I like about Booker. But the thing with Booker is that he only got that until it was King Booker, right? Booker T never got the title. King Booker did,
exactly.
Because that was the Vince creation, right?
Yeah.
And that's that ego. So, I mean, there are a lot of guys. Nobody really stands out to me as the ultimate underutilized guy.
No, there's not. I can't sit there and say if they had just put the strap on this guy and built the company around him, business would have been booming. They
no,
fucked it up.
There are a lot of circumstances. There's a lot of people that should shit not go down. William Regal's a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
Should shit not go down. Brian Pillman.
Yeah.
Is another example of someone that
for sure.
Was he underutilized?
WCW.
Yeah, I guess.
Not fair to call him underutilized.
Well, I don't
think ticking time bomb.
I don't think it's fair to call him underutilized at all, really. I mean, what happened was WCW could have pulled the trigger, but again, when they brought in Hogan and Savage and the old guy, you know, the friends of Hogan, that pushed out Austin and Mankind and Pillman and Farouk and all those guys that gave WWF their talent roster for the Attitude Era, for fuck's sake. So I can't.
I think Taz was underutilized.
In the WWF,
yeah.
That's, I think so. And well, I mean, if you've ever seen the Beyond the Mat special thing edition or whatever, I've got the one where it's Blaustein afterwards, or there's a extra where it's Blaustein sitting down talking to Ventura and Mick Foley,
mm-hmm.
And Foley specifically says, like, I know. After the Royal Rumble, there were people openly burying Taz and
mm-hmm.
saying, like, how do we bury this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, immediately.
Hunter.
Yeah, exactly. Hunter, exactly. And I mean, it's immediate, though, after
his
unbelievable debut that he had, and that was it, right? And then he's feuding with Jerry Lawler. I mean, and that was actually the best thing that ended up happening for him, because then it made him be a commentator.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, you're not taking the bumps and you're on, you get all this TV time,
money,
right? And you're
yeah.
making money. But I mean.
But the truth is he was vastly underutilized. So I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, man, yeah, that's about it. I'm trying to think of anybody.
It's tough to call Rey Mysterio underutilized, you know. But yeah.
It's tough. I'm trying to think of anybody that I thought was underutilized in that.
The 90s?
Yeah, like that new generation type era. I was trying to think of anybody that I really enjoyed. That there had to have been somebody, but I can't.
Salvador Sinceri.
That's yes.
Vastly underutilized.
Why the fuck? That, you know what? Why the fuck didn't they push Mantar? Actually, you know what? Talk about underutilized in WWF. Vader.
Oh, God, yes.
Vader come in. I was so excited when Vader
God,
come in.
Oh, God, yes.
And they completely dropped the ball on
that
Vader.
Might have been the biggest one.
Actually,
that's probably the biggest
one. I just remember telling friends when I was in university, and this is, I was the WWF guy. I was a wrestling guy, and I had everybody watching it at the, you know, by the time. I was like, hey, we got to watch this, so. I remember we all went to the...
You guys would watch, and you guys would continue to build up Mount Empty.
Yes, we would. And but we would watch, and I would spin yarns about the wrestling, because nobody knew. Some people did, but I'm explaining, because they're doing this Royal Rumble 1996,
uh-huh.
Is when Vader was going to make his WWF debut, or did make his WWF debut, at the Rumble, and they would do the, you know, from the Rocky Mountains, and they would show him doing the things, and they did the vignettes, building them up. I'm like, you people have to see this guy. He's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, because WCW, I just remember him and Sting, and the White Castle of Fear, and all that stuff. I'm like, you have to see this fucking guy. He is fucking awesome. And then, like, I remember, because this was, like, just before the Christmas break or whatever, and then in and around the WrestleMania, we all go, you know, like 20 of us all go and watch WrestleMania at a casino, and of course it's like Vader and I think it's Vader, Owen, and Davey against
International
Jake.
Incident.
Yeah, no, this was at Mania. This was the just a match.
Okay.
Vader, Owen, Davey against Yokozuna,
oh,
Jake Robertson, Ahmed Johnson, and
if
the babyfaces win, then Yoko got 5 minutes with Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
And everybody's just bugging the shit out of me. They're like, yo, that Vader's awesome. I'm like, fuck, he used to be. Like, I don't know what the hell, right?
You know what that brings up? Another guy in that era? Ron Simmons.
Yeah.
That gladiator gimmick, Farouk, the blue... The outfit.
That didn't last, though. I mean, luckily, that only lasted a couple months.
The stink was there
months,
for a while, I think.
Yeah, but it only lasted...
I think the stink was on him for a while.
The thing was, is though, but he overcame that. So I don't consider that because,
he
I mean...
He overcame that to have a long career within the WWE, but I don't think he met his potential because of that. Though he probably came pretty close to Nation of Domination. At least he challenged Undertaker.
I was going to say, he challenged. He was there for the belt, and he was in the finals of the Intercontinental Tournament against Owen... you know, APA. So, I mean, he had a decent career. I mean, honestly, I didn't look at Ron Simmons and see, you know, Austin or Pillman or, you know, I think he kind of got where, and again, with the blue helmet, it only really, that did only last, like, by that October, he debuted that blue helmet in, like, August, and I think by the October.
It stayed with people.
Well, it did, and I remember, right? Yeah, there was a, of course, but I mean... But
there's a guy people would say was underutilized, right?
Yeah, you could make that argument, definitely, that the Red Rooster, Terry Taylor was underutilized. I mean, he, even when he come back without it, you know, terrific Terry Taylor or whatever he was, and even in WCW when he was like Terrence Taylor and just Terry Taylor in general, feuding with Terra Ryzen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he just, he never made it, but I don't know how much of that is almost like,
Was Al Snow underutilized?
No, I don't think so. I don't,
Was Owen Hart underutilized? I think so. I think Tyson Kidd is underutilized right now.
Yeah, I think Tyson Kidd is underutilized right now. I think Owen Hart, I actually just, shock you, this will shock you, I just watched some old wrestling. from like December of 97, where Owen, it was after the D-Generation X pay-per-view when Owen come back after the screw job and he was like the Black Heart or whatever.
Yeah.
And he come through the crowd and Vince McMahon's like, I know you're out here, Owen Hart, I want it. And he comes through and he's wearing black, the black, cut off, sweep the leg, Johnny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Deal. And he's like, and he's swearing and he's like, this is bullshit. And he's like, he said shit like three times.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, Owen Hart. Yeah. But
yeah. Randy Orton DVD. How many times
he said shit or fuck or something, right? Yeah. They also bleeped John Cena saying dick. So,
I thought he said asshole, but.
Well, he said both. But, DX cut the legs out on Owen, like Sean and Hunter behind the scenes.
Yeah.
They cut the legs out on Owen because Owen was slated to come in and fight Sean. Now, Sean, again, we're talking underutilized. You've got two things that have happened there. And again, circumstances that I can't really blame on anybody. I mean, Owen 316 says, I just broke your neck.
Yeah.
I broke Steve Austin's neck, right? That's like I'm trying to use an example
here. It's like
here.
If Mr. Anderson injured Randy Orton or John Cena in a match.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Where is he now, right?
Yeah.
It would be like if Beefcake, let's just say, wasn't friends with Hogan for years and somehow broke his neck, injured him for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't see him anymore.
Or Randy Savage, you know.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Savage is a little bit different because he's a little higher level of a star, but... I just think that when you
if he had broke Randy Savage's
neck. Oh, Savage's neck, yeah. But
more equivalent to where Austin was then, when it happened.
Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, I'm just kind of looking at, so there was that. I mean, even if he was going to fight Sean got hurt, right? The casket match was that January, so I mean he got hurt and had to do it, so he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it paired over to, and I mean that you couldn't have Owen and Shawn at WrestleMania because you had Austin.
Yeah.
And Austin just needed
to
break out and do it, right? So timing played a lot into that.
Yeah. I don't think of Davey Boy Smith as being underutilized. But Eddie Guerrero in WCW. WCW had a shitload of underutilized.
Well, that's because WCW had 947 people on their roster at any given time. I mean, they had a lot of. I mean,
and Chris Jericho was crazy underutilized there, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Well, Eddie was as well, and Benoit. Benoit was really underutilized in WCW.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He had those things. He had the Best of Seven. He had the DDP Raven three-way feud.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot. He just could not...
Raven, I think, was underutilized in WCW, but even more so in WWF.
He was in WWF. I don't think he was in WCW.
No?
No, I don't, because, again, you have to take the whole thing is that he got all the television time, he got a lot of things, and the NWO was there, right? I mean,
Perry Saturn.
Yeah. I think we talked a little bit when we were talking on the list that Perry Saturn was kind of underutilized, but, I mean, he also wore a dress, right? So, I mean, it was... There was that. I mean, I'm trying to think of a... I mean, when we say underutilized, it was guys... There were plenty of guys. I mean, WCW, remember, at the time, had the greatest collection of talent.
In the history of the business.
In the history of the business.
Yeah.
And at that point. And so there were...
I still think probably in the history of the business.
You think so?
I think so, yeah. Again, they have Mexican guys that were underutilized, probably. I mean, it's a little difficult. Anyways, we're 2 hours and 49 minutes, 2 hours and 50 minutes in.
Yeah.
I'm hitting a wall a bit here. So I think why don't you do some final plugs? I will use the restroom. And once again, what I am going to say before I go, again, I'm going to put the link for Thwipping Boys if you want to read some of Simon's blogs up on both of those things.
Find out what Simon says.
If you guys want to write a blog for us, or Simon wants to write a blog on our site, if he thinks it's more of a wrestling site, or anybody out there, go to the host section and look at our emails. You can contact either one of us. Or if you want to do a podcast show like Sean Williams does, I will help you out and see if it will fit on our site and give you some advice if you want it. If you want to do a podcast, we'll take applications for bloggers or podcasts for this show or even for We Talk Wrestling if you have an idea for, or We Talk Podcasts if you have an idea for, a different show, genre of show, if you have something out there you want to do. You can go ahead, you can contact me, and like I say, just go to the host section. I'll give you some help, and other than that, I'm OUT. Off to the restroom.
Are you? Hi-ho, hi-ho. Off to the restroom you go. All right, well, now this show just got a little bit of class here, folks, so we are going to talk about how fat Mo is for the next 20 minutes. No, but we are going to go, so as we said, it's M-O. At WeTalkPodcast.com, ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com. Follow us on the Twitter there, at WeTalkWrestling, Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling, or just go to www.WeTalkWrestling.com. Obviously, all those ways can get a hold of us. So, once again, we thank you for listening. You got any questions? As I said, MO at WeTalkPodcast, ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com. Shoot us. We'd love to hear from you. We're on the Twitter. So that's going to be it for another week. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.